What knife? Are you suggesting this is a knife I have in my hand? Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost it.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their
audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit?
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder? I mean,
it's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And, of course, now it's come out. Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the people that, the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North Americans, the Europeans, and the Asians. So he said to me, would you like to be on the trilateral commission? Now, I was 30 years old.
That's because they have to have a guy trained and ready that's doing the job who will do exactly as they say.
Meanwhile, the propaganda outlets aren't just non-reporting. They are engineering consent, diverting eyes from the...
All right.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. We've got a lot of great guests coming up. Mike Lindell, Joey Pepperoni is going to explain to us some of what's been revealed in the Epstein files. That, of course, is going to be probably the main topic of conversation today as it continues to dominate the headlines, and we continue to get a lot of information out of the files released last Friday, the 3 million. As we speak, Pam Bondi is being grilled in the Congress and Senate, and I want to go to some of those videos here first. We also have some around the world terrorism to discuss from the usual suspects, I guess you could say, a 13-year-old stabbing his classmates in the UK while yelling Allahu Akbar, as well as a mass murder in Canada by a transgender individual on handfuls of SSRIs. So we'll talk about that as well. We're going to be joined by Mike Lindell and Mark Mitchell of Rasmussen to talk about the devastating effects that Trump's failure to move on Epstein is having with his poll numbers and his support and what that means for the midterms. It's not looking good, folks. And again, we've got just a ton of new information. A lot of it positive for Trump, which is weird because he still seems to be avoiding this topic like the plague. It's very weird. It's very bizarre. It's very inexplicable. Although I think I have some suggestions as to what might be behind some of this. But let's go to some of these clips from Pam Bondi where she's being asked about the Epstein files. It got a little contentious, not in a good way, and this is truly a bizarre situation to be in, not to beat a dead horse or anything, but I do just want to remind you, again, that the Democrats have spent the last decade downplaying the entire concept of elite pedophilia, so then to see them standing on a pedestal and questioning Pam Bondi about Jeffrey Epstein, like they're the ones that care about this, it's just disingenuous enough to make you sick. But let's go to some of these clips from Pam Bondi. Let's go to clip 44 here. AG Pam Bondi just revealed a massive win. Let's watch.
The Department of Justice is committed to holding criminals accountable to the fullest extent of the law. In 2025, the FBI arrested over 1,700 child predators, a 10% increase from 2024. We also located 2,700 victims of child exploitation and shut down 3.8 million dark web pedophile accounts. 3.8 million. So please, if you have information to share that needs to be investigated, contact the FBI.
Okay, not bad. Not a bad start. And of course, she's right. And even Axios and other liberal publications have to admit it. Violent crime plummets across major U.S. cities was their headline today from Axios. And it's actually funny. The original tweet I clicked on, the original headline was like, you know, despite Trump's rhetoric, murder rate, violent crime has plummeted over the last year. And it's like, what do you mean despite Trump's rhetoric? No, this is because of Trump's rhetoric, actually. No, this is actually directly in line with Trump's rhetoric. What are you talking about? But essentially they're trying to say that, you know, all this talk about violent crime is overblown because look how much it's going down. It's like, no, it's going down like that because Trump has made it a priority, obviously. Violent crime dropped sharply across America's biggest cities in 2025, according to new data reviewed by Axios. The stats were yet another sign that violent crime in the U.S. was starkly different than what President Trump cited as his reason for sending federal troops to Chicago, Portland, Washington, D.C., Memphis, and other cities in California. Yeah, wrap your mind around the liberal worldview. It is just utter madness, pure, unrelenting madness. It just doesn't make any sense. So it's an article about how these programs have caused a precipitous drop in violent crimes, but the way they're presenting it as if the drop in crimes therefore discredits the reason that the program was instituted in the first place. I think they might be dumb. I think these people might just be very dumb, or they're lying, but either way, screw them. But that's about the best that that Bondi did, old AG Pam Bondi, in this hearing. And it turned into a shrieking match for a lot of it. Kind of embarrassing, if you ask me, even though the people that she's yelling at are literally the worst people in the world. Okay, I'm talking Jerry Nadler, I'm talking Ratcliffe. What's that guy's name? He looks like a rat. Ratskin? Is that his name? His name is Ratskin? Raskin. Oh, okay, Raskin. Ratskin. Maybe more appropriate. I'm kidding, of course. Yes, Jamie Raskin. We know. We know old Jamie. He looks like a badly used steel wool sponge. Let's go to clip number 43 here. I almost hesitate to like go into these clips because they're very annoying. And it's just another sign of our collapse that we can't have a congressional or Senate hearing without it just descending into cursing and name calling and screeching at each other. It's very embarrassing. Here's AG Pam Bondi with what they call a generational takedown of insufferable Rep. Jerry Nadler. Let's watch.
President saying they indicted me twice. They sure did. They tried to impeach him twice. And you, Mr. Nadler, were one of the leads on the impeachment. I was on the other side. I lived that with you. During impeachment, you said the president conspired, sought foreign interference in the 2016 election. Robert Mueller found no evidence, none, of foreign interference in 2016. Have you apologized to President Trump? Have you apologized to President Trump, all of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump? You all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million, and Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history.
So again, you know, she's like got this like fire and brimstone act going on. And listen, don't get me wrong. Jerry Nadler deserves every insult ever thrown at him. Not defending Jerry Nadler in the slightest. She's right about the ridiculous attempts to impeach President Trump and all this. She's exactly right about that. It's just, I get a sense of the lady doth protest too much. Just a bit of the outrage, the seeming righteous indignation. It's just a little misplaced because, lady, you're a complete and utter failure. I hate to let you know. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but for the last year, you have presided over a giant pot of absolutely nothing. You have achieved absolutely nothing. You have arrested absolutely none of the rampant criminals that still hold positions in our government in some cases. You couldn't get the Comey indictment. You didn't get indictments of anybody in Russiagate, despite the fact that we've known for the last decade at this point that these people flagrantly violated any number of laws. They couldn't even get a grand jury indictment of the Seditious Six, which we'll get into in a little bit, because I think that's a whole other kettle of worms and problems and issues. But it's like, it's a little bit too much, because at the same time that she's, you know, talking about how we released the files and we're doing everything just right, the White House continues to completely stonewall any examination of the files. Let's go to clip number 63 here. This is White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt yesterday when she's asked about the Epstein files. Let's watch.
And that remains true. And this call, if it did happen, corroborates exactly what President Trump has said from the beginning. And I'm sure many of you, when you read that alleged FBI report, probably thought to yourself, wow, this really cracks our narrative that we've been trying to push about this president for many years. So we're moving on from that. Reagan.
We're moving on. We're moving on from it because it doesn't indict Trump. Like, this is the weird thing. It's like the Trump administration is like, okay, if it did indict Trump, would we be looking at it? Because so far, as I've seen, nothing in this indicts Trump. It indicts a lot of people around him. It indicts Howard Lutnick, who's sort of Trump's controller at this point. It indicts Marco Rubio to a large degree. It indicts a lot of the people in very close proximity to President Trump. But it actually exonerates Trump to a large degree. And yeah, Pam Bondi has her sticky mitts all over this. I mean, she was involved in the first Epstein I don't even want to call it conviction, where they pretended to convict him and they said, okay, you got to go to jail, but only on the weekends and we'll give you a ride. It's just ridiculous. But she was involved in that from the very beginning. And she's been involved in a lot of these things. Now, just to, not to, you know, go off the rails here, but I do want to remind you that Matt Gaetz was very much in favor of releasing the Epstein files. Matt Gaetz, if he was attorney general, we probably would have had the Epstein files a year ago and we would have had convictions to go along with it. But unfortunately, he was suckered into a honeypot blackmail operation from an Israeli. Wait a second. I think I'm seeing a connection here. Matt Gaetz is not our attorney general because he was subject to an Israeli sexual underage blackmail operation. And so we're not able to expose the documents about the worldwide Israeli blackmail sex underage sex operation. That's very convenient. It sort of solves its own issues in a way. Isn't that interesting? So I don't know anybody, literally nobody except for people being paid to. I don't know anybody that likes Pam Bondi. I don't know anybody that thinks she's doing a good job. I don't know anybody that likes her at all. She just sucks. She just really actually is terrible at her job or in on it. But she's not even good at that. Like, at least somebody who was good at their job would, like, give the impression that they're finding, but she doesn't even do that. So she's not even good at not being good at her job. Does that make sense? Like, Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas, they were really good at not being good at their job. They opened up the border, but every time you heard them talk, it sounded like they were very serious and nose to the grindstone and were getting things done and were doing things by the book. Meanwhile, Pam Bondi doing absolutely nothing and shrieking and flailing and yelling and screeching and calling people names. It's just pathetic. It honestly is pathetic. Do you want to go to some of the screeching, shall we? Shall we hear some of the screeching that our national government has descended into? Let's go to clip 47 here because this one is one of the ones that's going around of people going, what the hell is happening here? Why is Pam Bondi screeching about the stock market when she's asked a simple question about Epstein? But I actually don't think it's that out of, like, off the wall or out of left field. I think actually the answer she gives is actually an answer to the question she's asked, believe it or not. So here's Pam Bondi when she's asked about what's going on with Epstein. She goes into a shrieking tirade about the Dow Jones Index. Let's watch.
The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000. And the NASDAQ smashing records. Americans' 401ks and retirement savings are booming. That's what we should be talking about. We should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan.
Committee will be in order.
Mr. Jordan, am I going to get an extra 45 seconds added to my time?
The committee will be in order. The time belongs to the gentleman from Texas, Ms.
She kind of pulled a AIDS Skrillex there. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What does the Dow Jones have to do with Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirators? Probably more than you'd like to think. Again, she's asked about Jeffrey Epstein. What's going on with that? Are you going to indict any of the co-conspirators that are revealed in these documents? And her answer is, guys, the Dow Jones is at 50,000. Now, that seems crazy. That seems off the wall. It's why people are laughing, why she's freaking out. But let's just put this in, like, familial context, okay? This is, you know, the wife going to the husband and going, what are you going to do about our daughter being raped? Our daughter was raped. What are you going to do about it? And the husband being like, look, I'm not worried about that. I'm making so much money right now. My job is so good. I make so much money. Now, that conversation would make no sense until you realize the daughter was raped by the boss. Then it all comes full circle. Then you understand, oh, okay. See, the Dow Jones being this high is because the people that were associated with Jeffrey Epstein haven't been threatened with arrest, and so they haven't crashed the market in response yet. See, I think that might be what she's saying. I don't know if that's how she meant it. That's how it came across to me, is you want us to go after these Jeffrey Epstein people. Do you want to lose your retirement accounts to do it? Are you willing to crash the world economy and drive us into total depression to do that? Because that's what's going to happen, because the people in the Epstein files are the most wealthy and powerful people in our country. So if they go down, guess what they take with them? The economy. Now, that's not actually true. You could actually systematically round these guys up, go to them individually, person to person, and go, look, you're going down for this, but you can help us to transfer your wealth, transfer your assets, help us to understand, you know, the consequence of you going down, and then we'll make it easy for you. We can, you know, have you be, hell, you can be a hero in this. You can actually be somebody that was willing to sacrifice all of their wealth and all of their influence to tell the truth. And in return, maybe you go to like a nice camp instead of a prison complex. Like, you can work with them. You could actually do that. You could actually systematically take these guys down and capture their wealth through the government. Like, we have inordinate ability to do that with the American government. They can do anything they want if they put their mind to it. So the whole concept, they're like, oh, if we expose the criminals, the economy crashes and we can't do that, is a ridiculous excuse in the first place. But I'm pretty sure that's the excuse she was making right there. I don't know, but it seems to me like when she's asked, why aren't you taking down the Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirators? And her response is, have you seen how high the stock market is? I don't think these are not related. I think they're very well related, actually. I think that's actually the argument that's being made inside the halls of power. We can't go after these guys. If we do, it'll ruin all of the incredible progress we've made giving the rapist money. Okay. I mean, again, the Dow Jones, the stock market, is not actually reflective of the conditions of life in America. And as American life has degraded precipitously, like gone down, well, you don't go down a cliff, do you? You go off of one. So have we, as we have tumbled down the slope of quality of life over the last several decades, our stock market has risen in almost perfect proportion. So I don't actually care about what the stock market says. It seems to be reflective of something completely different than the quality of life and economic outlook of the average American person. So who cares? But these people do. Let's go to clip 48 here. This is Bondi again, going tit for tat, sharing blows with Jerry Nadler, the goblin. Let's go to clip 48 here, where she calls him a washed up lawyer. Let's watch.
I mean, you can let her filibuster all day long, but not on our watch.
Reclaim
not it? On our time. No way.
Reclaim
and I
it?
Told you about that, Attorney General, before you started.
You don't tell me.
No,
anything.
I did tell you, because
washed
we saw
up.
What you did in the Who's Senate.
A lawyer, not even a lawyer.
Committee will be in order.
Time, and I should get back at least 45 seconds.
We will give you a few more seconds. I
not
said that already.
45 seconds.
Okay.
Like, it would be one thing if any of this was even remotely legitimate. Like, the whole thing is absurd because these people are shouting and yelling and demanding answers and acting with righteous indignation about something that they deliberately went out of their way to cover up for an entire decade. So their outrage isn't legitimate. Her outrage isn't legitimate. This is just a giant joke. This is a gigantic play-acting scam where everybody has completely switched sides from where they were a year ago and yet are, you know, yelling and screaming with exactly the same vociferousness that they were previously. The whole thing is ridiculous and absurd and has become a gigantic circus. And it's all nonsense. Like, I've been saying for a long time the comparison between Pam Bondi and somebody like Merrick Garland is not just because Merrick Garland knew how to play the game, knew how to present himself like a consummate professional, but like in a lot of ways, he was that consummate professional, and he did just do things behind the scenes. Pam Bondi will go out and give talks and appear on Fox News and, you know, wave her papers around and act like she's getting to the bottom of it. She talks very tough, and then at the end of the day, absolutely nothing comes from it. On the other hand, what we actually need, the inversion of that, and what would save the country would be a Merrick Garland type figure who just is quiet in the background, plugging away, getting indictments, getting arrests done, not talking about it very much, occasionally coming out and making a speech about how everything he's doing is perfectly by the book and under the letter of the law and not in any way guided by partisanship. And then you just arrest all the Republicans and, you know, act like it's business as usual. Like, that's actually what we need. We actually need a hyper competent nerd to just be rounding these people up. Instead, we have some bimbo who's totally incompetent and flailing and desperately trying to cover that up. I'm sorry if this is offensive to anybody, but like, this is kind of the fate of our nation and in a way the fate of the world in the balance here. Like, what happens in the next year or so is going to determine the actual fate of the entire United States. And if we lose the midterms, that's it for us as a country. And we're going to have to start making some very, very difficult choices about the future of our population. So like, this is not a game. This is not something where you can go, well, she's trying her best, or, well, you know, let's just wait and see. You know, I don't think she's doing much, but who knows? It could turn around. It's like, no, we don't have time for that. And frankly, we're not going to wait for that. And I think now, like at this point, we might need to take what some people are already doing and up at another level. Showed you the video on the War Room earlier this week. Just a single woman found a name in the Epstein files. It turned out it was a professor at a college near where she lived. So she took it upon herself, made a sign, went, stood out in front of the university, waving a sign saying, this dude's a pedophile, he should be fired. And eventually the dean of the college came down and said, listen, we know about this. The guy's been fired. He's been let go. He's not going to be renewed for his, you know, whatever. And she succeeded in getting that guy fired. Now, that is, on one hand, great that somebody had the, you know, tenacity to go out and do that, the will to go out and make a change like that. Also, utterly pathetic that that's what it takes and that it was a single person and not a giant crowd. Now we're seeing more people. Now we're seeing crowds gather outside of places like Les Wexner's home. And frankly, we don't need an investigation. We don't need a trial. We don't need court cases. We have it all in their own words. It's the same thing as Russiagate or any of the other stuff that we've, any of the other scams that we've suffered under over the last 10 years. They keep announcing investigations like there's something to find out. No, when they're on text messages saying, this is our insurance plan, we're not going to ever let Trump get in, get elected, and then they run the Russiagate conspiracy, like that's guilt. He's guilty. The only thing now to do is to decide which law they broke and what the punishment should be. It's not a question of if they broke a law. It's a question of if they deserve life in prison or immediate death. I mean, that should be where we're at this point. I don't know how much longer we're going to wait for Pam Bondi to get her act together. And that's, I think that needs to be the message that we send, is like, look, we want you to do this. But we don't have to. We don't have to wait for you to do it, but you probably should. It would be a lot better and healthier for the country if the lawful authorities did this, but it doesn't have to be them. I mean, it can be anybody. So I don't know. I don't know where we go from here, but it's entirely up to Pam Bondi and Donald Trump and the Epstein friends that he's surrounded by as to which path this takes into the future. When we come back on the other side, we're going to go to a report from Alex Jones and get into some more videos. We'll move on from Pam Bondi. But stay with us, folks. Major revelations, huge stories coming up. Alex Jones on the other side. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Somalia's electoral authorities have started issuing voter ID cards across Mogadishu as the capital prepares for its first direct municipal council elections in decades under a one-person, one-vote system.
Golly!
Out of over 170 nations that hold elections, the United States is one of only a few that don't have voter ID. Only a few backwater failed states, really aren't even countries, don't have voter ID. And then, of course, the United States. And the few places Kamala Harris won in 2024 were places that didn't have it. California has a law that you can't even ask for it. Well, Somalia just passed its national voter ID and is now using it in their elections. So you needed to buy alcohol or cigarettes to get on an airplane, but not when you vote. This is systemic fraud that's baked in. And now you have the SAVE Act that's been shot down by the Republican leadership, Senator Thune,
This is a real disaster for our country. They have been stealing elections for a long time. They will continue until we have voter ID and until the criminals that have been caught stealing elections all over the country are brought to justice. That's the reality. The agenda of Trump when it comes to election integrity is the standard that the State Department applies to the rest of the world. And according to the State Department's own guidelines for open, free elections, we rate as an F minus. That is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. You're supposed to be able to question elections. You're supposed to have voter ID. You're supposed to have a count at the local precinct level. All of these things are bypassed now, and the fraud just gets worse and worse. Here's the report from Somalia. They have it, but we don't.
Somalia's electoral authorities have started issuing voter ID cards across Mogadishu as the capital prepares for its first direct municipal council elections in decades under a one-person, one-vote system. Printing at the Somali Independent Election Committee headquarters operates around the clock in 2 8-hour shifts, producing an estimated 30,000 to 40,000 cards.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. The questioning of Pam Bondi continues in D.C. there. That was Alex Jones. He, of course, is out today, but he has been sending in reports. And I just add it to the list of Republican failures. And honestly, at this point, it's our fault. It really is our fault. We really should have double down on Trump earlier on in his first administration and made sure to oust all of the Congress and Senate that didn't support him. I think that's kind of our fault. I think we need to primary every single one of these people because clearly they have absolutely no interest in doing absolutely anything that would benefit the American people. They have every chance to over and over again. They're given a wide open swath to do whatever they want and they just do nothing. They do nothing. When it comes to the SAVE Act and voter ID, amongst Republicans, approval is over 90%. Something like 95% of Republicans want voter ID. When it comes to the Democrats, over 75%. They're often polled in the mid-80s. 85% of Democrats also say you should have an ID to vote. So when you have 80 to 90% of an entire country, or to be generous, 75% of an entire country that wants something and it can't get done, what does that tell you? It tells you we're not in a republic. We're not in a democracy. I'd say the same thing about the Epstein files. Of course, the fact that we got any of them is a victory for the republic, for the fact that our Congress that we elect actually can force the hand of the executive to a certain degree in getting these releases. That was a victory there. But the fact that they haven't been released in full and they haven't been released in a timely manner, this is an attempt by the Congress to reassert their power in the government construct, but they're refusing to do what the American people want in terms of the SAVE Act and voter ID. It is wildly popular, but it just absolutely won't get done. And so just added to the list of Republican failures. And it's not just in the administration, Pam Bondi, and the just relentless tyranny that has gone unpunished, the COVID stuff that's gone unpunished, the Russiagate stuff that's gone unpunished, the stealing of the 2020 election that's gone unpunished. Maybe there's some movement in some of those, but we've seen absolutely nothing. And they have a couple of months to get all of it done, or else we lose the midterms. The Democrats impeach Trump. They open up the border. They give backdoor, bureaucratic citizenship to everybody they came across, and we're stuck with them forever, and that's the end of the United States. So this is like the most important thing ever, period. Like, that's it. This is actually the most important thing in our lifetimes, is that something get done to deal with this. Because the two options we have to avoid, I keep saying this about Epstein, there's two options that we have to avoid like the plague. And it goes all the way back to the Hippocratic Oath and the two things you're supposed to avoid there, which is therapeutic nihilism and overtreatment. And that's what we have to deal with. Overtreatment would be people just go insane or just like, you know what, screw it. Let's have like a communist revolution or something, because clearly the capitalist pigs that are raping children are unaccountable. And you just go, you know what, F it. Whatever replaces this system will be better than the one that we have. And you just throw the whole thing in the gutter. and you can find out exactly what the French Revolution people found out, what the people in the Bolshevik Revolution found out, is sure, the Tsar had some dungeons that weren't very nice, but it was actually a hell of a lot better than the Gulag Archipelago that would come after, or in the French Revolution. Yeah, it wasn't great having to, whatever, pay indulgences or have the king, you know, be lawless. That wasn't fun, but it was probably better than the Reign of Terror, right? So we don't want to overtreatment. We don't want to go, okay, everything is screwed. Everybody's controlled. Let's just burn the whole thing down. And then on the other side of this, the pedophile network still exists, only we're all in gulags. That would not be a good outcome of this. But perhaps even worse outcome of that would be therapeutic nihilism. The idea that all of this comes out, all of this information is exposed, all of these people are convicted in their own words, and yet nothing happens. And yet nothing happens. That's worse than the information not being released. Is the information being released and then nothing is done about it. This information from the Jeffrey Epstein document drop is only as good as the action it inspires. And I've long said that I feel like this is a primary role that we play here at InfoWars, and that I take on as a mission, is uplifting the morality, or the, morale of the troops. Napoleon has a quote about how war is like 9/10 morale. The Romans have an old quote that was, an enemy is not defeated if he does not believe himself so. And so it's really like what we're fighting is a war. It is an information war, but the stakes are life and death. And if we fail in our morale, if we feel like we've lost, if we give up, then they win. And that's the only way that they win. The only way that they win is when we let them win and we admit defeat and roll over and surrender to them, which is what the psychological paradigm would be if all of this is released and nothing happens and all the people get away with it and Jeffrey Epstein keeps playing Fortnite in his Tel Aviv apartment and nothing is done. That is the most demoralizing thing that could happen. So right now, this release of these Epstein files, so a lot of people are seeing it and they're being revealed to the just disgusting underbelly of the world at this point, and it's blackpilling them. It's depressing them. It's overwhelming them. I'm here to tell you, folks, we have known about this for 20 years. Alex Jones has reported on this for 20 years. It does not beat us down. It does not make us depressed. It should fire you up. You should transmute your shock into outrage. And you should use that outrage to power activism. And that activism should be geared towards overthrowing the world order and reestablishing justice. And we can achieve that as long as you don't be disheartened by the fact that all these criminals are getting away with it for now. So we got a lot of work ahead of us, and now's the time to double down and organize and realize that they're on the back foot, that they are in retreat, that the release of these Epstein files and the things people are finding out about it and the work of the genius of the, you know, disconnected, decentralized human intelligence agency hive mind is finding out incredible things. And it's ironic and just totally devastating and defeating that, like, our greatest victory so far, the release of all of this stuff, the revelation of the truth that we've been, you know, trying to describe in vague details because we haven't had the particulars quite yet. The revelation of this stuff makes everybody depressed, makes everybody not want to fight. Like, what the hell are you talking about? This is our greatest victory. We just stormed the castle and knocked down the gate and raised the flag. And everybody goes, oh, this is hard, guys. I don't know. I don't know about all this. I mean, all the things we've revealed are really, you know, sad. It's like, what? No, there's demons out there that need killing. What are you talking about? Pick up your sword. Let's go. Like, what are we doing here? Don't forget, guys, like, they are panicking. They're freaking out. They don't know how to deal with this. They are not all powerful. That's the other thing that, like, we keep needing to reemphasize. Yes, there are conspiracies. Yes, there are massively powerful people out there that are able to get away with all sorts of stuff and are able to, you know, carry on these clandestine activities with the willful participation, the cover up of the mainstream media and the authorities that are supposed to stop them. All that's absolutely true. They're not gods. They're not magical beings. They can't dictate reality to us. They have to contend with human will. Things happen that they don't expect and that they have to change their plan to contend with. Don't be blackpilled at the fact that all of this is coming out. This is a major cause of celebration, not depression. Like, please, please, for the love of God, don't let our victory suddenly get transmuted by them into us accepting defeat that doesn't even exist. This is all so crazy. So Pam Bondi is still being questioned. She's been questioned by Epstein. She's questioning about Epstein by Massey now. Thomas Massey, of course, was the person who wrote this bill, got it across. And the way things work out is so, so strange, so bizarre. The fact that Trump was the guy and all of his people around him were saying they were going to release the Epstein files. They didn't do it. But then somehow you got Thomas Massey, the libertarian, like far right winger, combining with the left wing who think it's about Trump. So go along with the plan to open up the Epstein files, thinking they're going to get Trump. And then it turns out in the Epstein files, it just shows that Trump blew the whistle on Epstein and was the reason he got arrested in the first place. It's just crazy how all this has worked out and how the roles keep flipping to complete inversion. It's just all so crazy. So let's go to these videos of Thomas Massey questioning Pam Bondi. We'll go to this first one. Bondi and Massey argue, but no answers come out. It's from Lord Bebo on X. Let's watch.
I have several questions for you. Who's responsible? Are you able to track who in your organization made this massive failure and released the victims' names? Are you able to track who it was that obscured Les Wexner's name as a co-conspirator in an FBI document? Do you have that kind of accountability?
I believe Wexner's name was listed more than 4,000 times.
I already told you that.
Let me finish my answer. We corrected that within 40 minutes. He was already, you're acting like everybody's trying to cover up Wexner's name.
Reclaiming my time. Mr. Chairman.
This is how this works.
Can I have my time?
Mr. Chairman.
The gentlelady can give her answer. The time belongs to the gentleman from.
All right, I'm reclaiming my time.
Can I give my answer?
So, yes. I'm going to put the language of the bill up on the screen.
Chairman, may I give another question on that? And I need to give my answer on that.
We'll let the Attorney General respond, and then the gentleman can move to
Chairman,
his next question.
It's my time.
Within 40 minutes, you asked me a question.
You
within 40 minutes, Wexner's name was added back.
Within 40 minutes of me catching you red-handed.
There was one redaction out
where
of
he's
over
listed 40, as a co-conspirator.
Okay. And we invited
you, know
you in.
Gentlemen.
We in. This guy has Trump derangement syndrome. He needs to get, you're a failed politician.
Gentlemen,
you need to go on to watch the
Mr. Chairman, please restore his time and remind the witness of himself. The rules here.
Man, she sucks. Man, she really sucks. She really sucks. I don't think I have anything more edifying to say than that. You have Trump derangement. Okay. So what happened is the law, as was written, said you're only allowed to censor or redact names for national security reasons, ongoing investigations, or because they're victims. They instead redacted names like Les Wexner, who was in the documents listed as a co-conspirator. And there's absolutely no justification for national security or any other reason. So they broke the law. So they redacted a name because they wanted to protect that person, not because it would be inappropriate to release his name. So they got caught. So Thomas Massey caught them, came out, announced this name that was redacted. That was Les Wexner. He's labeled as a co-conspirator. And then once he calls them out, it took them 40 minutes to go in and unredact that part. And she's acting like, for 40 minutes it happened. Well, no, it was a week in which his name was redacted until Thomas Massey called it out. And then it took you 40 minutes to, you know, actually admit that you did wrong and replace it. She calls this Trump derangement syndrome. That's Trump derangement syndrome, which is funny because I don't hear Thomas Massey talk about Trump almost at all. I watch a lot of stuff with Thomas Massey. He kind of avoids the whole Trump topic as much as humanly possible. He'll bring it up when necessary. Meanwhile, Donald Trump gets invited to a prayer breakfast, and the first thing he says is like, Thomas Massey needs to go. Thomas Massey is an idiot. And it's like, there's only one person that seems to be obsessive about this relationship or have some sort of derangement syndrome around the other person, and it ain't Thomas Massey. So what are we doing here? Let's go to the next one. Should we just go to this longer one? We'll go to the full Massey questioning here. But before we do that, let's go to this quick video, because this is not Massey, but this is Ted Lieu, I think his name is. Let's go to the Ted Lieu video, and then we'll do the full Massey clip. But this is Ted Lieu asking about Prince Andrew, who's in the documents with very graphic pictures of him with women, as well as discussion. Seems like maybe Prince Andrew participated in a murder or two. Let's go to Pam Bondi.
The July 2025 memo from your Department of Justice stated, quote, "We did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. These two photos, please put the photos back up. These two photos staring you in the face are evidence of a crime and more than enough evidence to predicate an investigation against former Prince Andrew. So I ask you, Attorney General Pam Bondi, why did you shut down this investigation last July, and why have you not prosecuted former Prince Andrew?"
I don't believe you asked Merrick Garland these questions when he was Attorney General and set before.
I agree with you.
You twice.
I'm reclaiming my time. I agree with you. I agree with you. During the Biden administration, I called for people looking at Epstein files. Merrick Garland dropped the ball, as did Attorney General Bill Barr, as did Alex Acosta, a whole string of failures. But you are in charge. You have the power to change things, to hold these men accountable, and you're doing the opposite. You're protecting them.
Yeah, he's right. I mean, she's right, too. Obviously, they didn't care about the Epstein files under Merrick Garland. It wasn't a concern of theirs. They were busy going after Catholic parents who went to school board meetings and protested abortion clinics. They were busy arresting Holocaust survivors for singing outside of a Planned Parenthood. They had their priorities. They weren't concerned about Epstein. Again, this is the circus nature of all of this. It's all ridiculous. They're all abject liars, just trying to outlie one another. It's all ridiculous. Let's go to this next one from Thomas Massey. This one is 56 seconds long. Bondi, did you talk to about Epstein at all in the last 4 years? And this is Massey responding to sort of the same accusation. Why are you bringing this up now when you had 4 years under Merrick Garland? He had access to all of this. Why didn't it come up then? Let's watch.
FBI. Did you ask Merrick Garland that the last 4 years? Did you talk about Epstein?
I am reclaiming my time. I'm glad you're asking about Merrick Garland.
You don't get a reclaim
because
time
this is bigger than Watergate.
When I don't answer this, a question,
this
the way
goes
you want.
Over four administrations. You don't have to go back to Biden. Let's go back to Obama. Let's go back to George Bush. This cover up spans decades, and you are responsible for this portion of it.
And that's
now,
where the
I want to know at what point. At what point did the FBI and the DOJ decide that Lex Wessner was not a co-conspirator? Because our Epstein Files Transparency Act requires you, please put it back on the screen, please, to release the internal decision about whether to prosecute him or not, and it's not in the files, and it's not in the files for any of these other men.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
May she answer?
And
see, y'all seen what's going on in the UK? Have you also known the UK is responding to the Epstein files? Because what has come out in the UK about Peter Mandelson, Keir Starmer, and a few of the other, you know, conspirators there, it's basically bringing down the entire UK government. It's forcing Starmer to resign. People have already resigned. There's investigations being launched. I mean, it's having a real impact there. And it's crazy because that should be happening to 10 times the degree here. Already. We're seeing Pam Bondi doesn't know what the hell she's doing. Thomas Massey there just completely destroys her. She's like, why didn't you ask Merrick Garland? He's like, okay, you can go to Merrick Garland. You can go to the, you know, people under Bush and Obama. This goes back a while. And now you're here and you're now covering it up. So it's not an excuse to say, but they covered it up before me. Okay. So now you're in charge. Why are you covering it up? I'm not trying to give Merrick Garland a pass. Screw that guy. He should have been in prison for a while now, temporarily, till the real punishment can be delivered. That's my position on his traitorous activity. So I'm not defending him in the slightest, but yeah, she's the one covering it up now. So she's breaking the law, right? As Thomas Massie says, the law said you had to do this, this, this. You had to provide reasoning if you weren't going to charge them. They didn't do that. She broke the law. She's freaking out and refusing to answer questions. Meanwhile, Howard Lutnick has been proven to lie under oath about his connections to Jeffrey Epstein. Every single one of these people should be resigning in disgrace so we don't have to force them out. They don't have that humility. They don't have that respectability like people in the UK do. Why are we getting shown up by the people in the UK? Because everything is topsy-turvy, nonsense, retard world, and I can't make heads or tails of it. Let's go to this last clip of Massie and Pam Bondi squaring off once again.
Chairman, behind me I have three documents from the DOJ production that are emblematic of the massive failure of the DOJ to comply with the Epstein Files Transparency Act. To my right is an email that was sent by the victim's lawyers to the DOJ. It was a list of names not to redact, a list of names not to release. What did the DOJ do with this email? They released this email in the document production. Literally the worst thing you could do to the survivors, you did. And they're getting phone calls. A lot of these people didn't want to be known. And we know you touched the document because you redacted one name. And you redacted the lawyer's name, but you left the survivor's name there. The next document I want to show you, that was in the title, the victim's survivor's names, all right? The title of this one is Child Sex Trafficking, Co-Conspirators, fully redacted. And by the way, I'm going to unredact them here. Les Wexner is in this. Now, your assistant deputy.
He's physically ripping off the black bars that block him.
Oh, well, he appears hundreds of times in the files. But he doesn't appear in this file until I forced you to release it, where he's listed as a co-conspirator, not to tax evasion, but to child sex trafficking. Not to prostitution, not to money laundering, child sex trafficking. And then finally, what we have here is the third exhibit that I have is emblematic of the FD-302 release.
And of course, it's just completely blacked out. You get absolutely no information from the 302s. Those are the forms that the FBI fills out after they question somebody. So they blocked out all of the conspirators, but published all the names of the victims, literally the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do. It's beyond incompetence. It's deliberate malfeasance, in my opinion. We're going to continue into the second hour with Joey Pepperoni breaking down the Epstein list, but I have to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we stay on the air, the only way that we're able to actually continue this fight that we started 20 years ago against the pedophile satanic networks in this world. You can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off all supplement subscriptions today. So if you sign up for a regular delivery of a product, it guarantees that product is always going to be delivered to you, even if we sell out otherwise. And you get 50% off for signing up. thealexjonesstore.com. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster. and to others, make no peace with evil, and defend the West. Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm sitting in for Alex today. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I normally host the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Rob Dew will be taking over that for me today. We're going to be bringing on some really great guests this hour and the next 2 hours, including Mike Lindell and Mark Mitchell from Rasmussen Reports, and we'll be joined by Joey Pepperoni here momentarily. But I want to go to a video out of Canada, and I'm telling you, I could spend this whole show on Canada, the UK, Australia. They are in so much worse positions than we are here in America. But obviously, America is where our battle is, where our fight is. But I thought this exchange was particularly illuminating about some of the laws being passed in the Anglosphere European diaspora countries and the sort of casualness with which the ruling parties are basically destroying the entire concept of democracy. I mean, we've seen this in England. I mean, they're basically speedrunning collapse, or they're getting rid of jury trials, and they're expediting, judge bench trials so they can just basically throw anybody in prison they want. I mean, the whole Anglosphere is going completely insane. Here's the latest act of insanity from Canada, where they're trying to put a provision in the bill to allow ministers, government ministers, to basically ignore every law that's been passed in the last 150 years. It's crazy, but here's the argument.
But why should one minister, individual minister, be allowed to bypass 150 years of Canadian law and exempt the a person or company of their choosing?
Yeah, look, that may be your view, but I don't think that is what's happening here.
Well, that's how it's written.
It doesn't say people are being exempted from 150 years of law.
It says from any federal law except the criminal code.
Right. There's no mention of years or...
It's any federal law except for the criminal... So it's any federal law that has been passed over the last 150 years.
Right. I'm not going to parse this out with you.
So just to be clear, you don't need it to do your job, but you want to keep it nonetheless.
I think it's helpful to have.
Do you see the potential of abuse, though, in that companies or people will have to lobby you personally and not care about the law itself?
No one's asked me to overturn any laws.
You would have the ability to.
In some context, perhaps, but again, this is something that would have to be used very judiciously.
How could you possibly think that this would not undermine the trust in our democracy then?
I think Canadians expect us to act reasonably. I think Canadians expect us to be judicious in our decision making. Passing a law like C-15, which all members will have the opportunity to vote on, is something that is inherently accountable in and of itself.
Well, it has this particular clause that is very problematic. It is all over the news. I have a letter with 43 organizations asking for you to strike it because of the potential of abuse, but you still want to keep it.
I think I've answered that question about 3 times now.
I just don't find it reasonable for you to have the powers of a king, essentially.
I certainly don't have the powers of a king.
If you are allowed to exempt any entity from any federal law, it is like the powers of a king.
Is that a statement or a question?
Well, it's a fact.
Thank you, Ms. Kobina. That concludes the time for this.
Just something about the just like inhuman gaze of that guy. I mean, he looks like a zombie. He looks like a skeleton with hair. And he just very calmly... It's just like, I mean, the whole thing is absurd. She's like, you would be able to basically ignore 150 years of law. And he's like, that's ridiculous. That's not true. She's like, okay, but it says you can ignore every law except for the criminal code. That was passed 150 years ago, so all laws passed in the last 150 years, you'd be able to ignore. And he's like, yes. Yeah, that's right. It's like, okay, so why are you arguing against that in the first place? It's like, what are we doing? Why are we calmly talking about this? They're trying to destroy the last 150 years of law because they want to be able to impose anything they want on you, and they're doing it the same in the UK. It's going to come here, folks. We got to stop it now. Joey Pepperoni on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll get into Epstein in 90 seconds.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
On the march, the Empire is on the run. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
You remember I decoded the Epstein chalkboard, but in the recent files, I found the wider picture that shows the full board.
Well, all right, class. Let's break it down.
This is a ritual system for social engineering. Look at the top. Distribution. That's the bell curve. Population control. The goal is to keep most people average, dull, and easy to manipulate by controlling exactly what they see. Now look at the machine code. This is Kabbalah stuff, disguised as math. M-objects are mathematical objects. To them, you're data. Miracles are engineered awe. The matrix is the cage, and the university board is the gatekeeper. Then you see beauty. That's Tiferet from the Tree of Life, weaponized to gold-tune your identity. Now look all the way to the right. See this money sign, DT? This is the flow of capital. The money sign proves that this is a funded operation. In elite systems, DARPA tech, and psychological warfare, DT stands for digital twin. It's a data-driven replica of you, a shadow self in AI form used to simulate your behavior. They predict your outcomes and run psychological simulations before they ever deploy them in the real world. They're not just watching you. They're testing your digital twin to see how to break you. And look at the code block, SB00. That's the protocol. The S with the T underneath, that's signal tuning. They're tuning the signal of your behavior at the base layer, ground zero, using the digital twin as the blueprints. It all leads to the lab high school, recruitment points, probably gate programs, psyops, and handlers. They find you early, mark you as gifted, and tune your identity into the digital twin before you ever hit the university board. This explains how they run the distribution. Rumors link Ghislaine to Maxwell Hill, the Reddit powerhouse who controlled the flow of world news. She was the operator. The account went dark on June 30th, 2020, exactly 2 days before she was arrested. She was managing the frequency for the machine. Why do they do this? Why the rituals? Because the people running this board believe they are the Nephilim bloodline. To them, humanity is just a resource to be farmed. It's not just a science project. It's a genetic destiny. They're using this formula to install the hybrid god and reclaim the throne through transhumanism. It's a map for elite tech overlords to mold identity, hijack perception, and control consciousness. It's Kabbalah turned into a weapon to install the hybrid god.
Ooh, okay, folks. Yeah, did you think it was just about vacations on an island? No, it gets a hell of a lot deeper than that. What an incredible video. One of many that my guest Joey Pepperoni produces. He's a filmmaker, researcher, and cultural commentator exposing elite power structures, secret societies, and hidden agendas. His viral videos connect the dots between Epstein's network, occult rituals, transhumanism, and ancient deities. You can follow him on X at underscore Joey Pepperoni. Mr. Pepperoni, thank you. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me on, Harrison. It's an honor to be here.
It's my pleasure. And I just want to make sure. Do I have your Twitter account right? Because I was trying to tag you right before going live. I wanted to say I'm going to have Joey Pepperoni. I couldn't tag you. It would not show up. It's underscore Joey Pepperoni, right? You're not, you haven't been banned in the last 20 minutes because.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I was permanently suspended my account. I made a new account like last week. So my new account is Joey Pepperoni with just two I's at the end.
Okay.
My original one was the underscore. But,
okay. All right. I'm glad I cleared that up because, yeah, I was trying to tag you and it wasn't showing up. I didn't know if you were shadow banned or if we needed an update. So I'm glad I asked. Okay. Yeah. At Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end, the ritual has begun. Well, why were you banned? Any reason?
I honestly don't know. I have no idea. I think because of the videos.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think I have a suspicion. It's the video we just played. That you do. That really blew my mind. How do you decide what to focus on? I mean, so much has come out from the Epstein files. Some people are focusing on one thing, some on the others. How do you determine what to pour your energy and attention into?
Well, it started with James O'Keefe when he photographed the chalkboard. He was asking people to help decode it, but we didn't know at that time that it wasn't, that there was a missing right side. So like none of us knew that. So the right side had been erased. So when James O'Keefe photographed it, it was actually missing the whole right side, but nobody knew. But then I was looking through the Epstein files and I found a full picture of the board. And that's when, I was like, oh my God, there's a whole right side. And that was, yeah, for sure they erased it. That's what happened. So that, and like, that's the whole point of, it's the full system is what I'm trying to say right now. So you have the left side and the right side. Now we get the full picture. Before it was just the left side. But what's really important for people to understand is that the people running it believe they're born to rule. Like they believe they're a ruling bloodline. Mm. In their own ideology, they see themselves as descendants of the Nephilim. So in their worldview, humanity is just a resource for them. That's how they view us. So the chalkboard shows how that belief is operationalized. It's a blueprint. It's a system design.
It really is amazing. And drawing Kabbalah into it gives it an interesting twist. What made you draw that connection, or how does Kabbalah play into what seems to be a very modern technological, technocratic, you know, surveillance and control grid? How does, you know, this ancient mysticism play into that?
Well, in the Kabbalah, beauty corresponds to Tiferet, and that beauty was on the board. So when you look at Tiferet, it's the center of the tree of life. It governs balance, harmony, identity, and the image of the self. So if you control beauty, you control Tiferet. And if you control Tiferet, you control how people see themselves and what they're drawn toward. So it's not attraction. It's not random. It's tuned. It's social engineering. That's what they've been doing. And that it's when people, like, what people desire shapes their identity, their relationships, their ambition, their morality. That's when I saw beauty, I linked it to that. I said, it's got to be something to do with Kabbalah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there's a lot of, you know, places we could go with that. Cause I think, you know, designing people's desires is what they figured out is the key. If people only desire what you can deliver them, then you have them as slaves, and we can get into sort of the metaphysical aspect of that. But one of the things that was revealed very recently was that apparently Jeffrey Epstein was a majority owner of a young women's clothing brand called Justice, I believe it was called. But basically Jeffrey Epstein, it appears, was one of the main reasons that, you know, young girls started wearing low cut jeans and crop tops and, you know, more sort of, for lack of a better word, slutty apparel. You know, he sort of was key in running the brands that popularized that. So when you're talking about shaping people's ideal of beauty, seems like the pedophilia plays right into that. And they were trying to sort of normalize young women being sexualized. Do you think that plays into what you're talking about? That's just what came to mind while you were talking there.
Yeah, 100%. That's the left side of the board that showed the preparation. It was showing the conditioning of the population. So it was how to shape identity early, how to normalize the signal. And then the right side, we get the execution, the distribution of it, the scaling of it. It's the operator class with control layers. And when you put that together, when you put left and right together, you see that it's an engine. It's a psychological and social and technological engine. So if you're building a hybrid God, which that's their goal, if they're going to be building a hybrid God, you got to ask, what do you need? And I've come up with, they need massive data inputs. That's the first thing. The second thing is they need predictable human behavior. And then they need, the third thing is emotional tuning. Fourth thing, a centralized authority. And the fifth thing, they need a class of operators above the masses. And that's what they were looking for. That's what they look for in their programs that they run. And the chalkboard maps that. When you look at it, like the left side, right side, it maps that. And Harrison, the reality is they're building a throne, like the Ark of the Covenant. That's what they're doing. They're building a throne for their hybrid God. It's going to be an intelligence fed by billions of minds. The hybrid God is going to be trained, scaled, and 2026, this year, this is the installation. This is when they're installing it. It's the installation phase. That's what I believe. So if you want to look at it, you're going to look at the chalkboard is the system architecture. The system is the training ground, and the AI is the throne. And then the hybrid God is the installed authority. And that's why they erased the right side. The right side is all about the execution of it. It's the part that it's if you didn't have that, we wouldn't really connect it. We wouldn't know that it's a massive social engineering plan. It shows how conditioning gets deployed through systems like institutions, media, technology, and distribution networks. It's no longer one event in one room. It's coordinated systems working together.
Right.
So the chalkboard, it's not the ritual in the old sense. It's architecture.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm just trying, like, what do you think the context of this board was? Like, obviously somebody is standing there giving a presentation, writing notes, or maybe they're brainstorming. I mean, who do you think, I'm just trying to, you know, imagine what was the circumstances where these words were written, where these diagrams were drawn? Was somebody explaining this to Jeff Epstein? Was he explaining it to somebody else? Was this a brainstorming session from a bunch of people? I mean, do you have any context of like who wrote this and who was there while it was being written?
I believe Epstein wrote it, because in his interview with Bannon, you see he talks a lot about concepts like this. And if you search his emails, like if you look for M objects, which is written on the board, it comes up in an email. I forgot that there's one guy, the guru, some guy, he said that he taught him what it means. But if you search the emails, you'll find these words in there. And then it's most likely Epstein that wrote it.
And that's so the emails can actually give you context of what he was talking about on the board. It's absolutely fascinating. Then of course you end the video that we just watched with that shot of, Moloch or, you know, Baal, one of these horned gods. And it's interesting because it matches almost perfectly an image out of Iran today. This is kind of off the wall. I'm not sure if you saw this, but clip 53, apparently they burned an effigy in Iran, and I can't help but align it to the image at the very end of the video we just saw. But let's go to clip 53 here. This happened earlier today in Tehran, and you can see they're burning the statue of Baal with the Masonic obelisk next to it. But they're burning. It's like, I don't know. Whoever's doing this, I like them. Why aren't we burning effigies of the satanic god in our square? But how does this tie into Moloch worship and Baal worship and this, you know, pseudo satanic type of stuff? Because there's been a lot of discussion is like, okay, is the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was Jewish, was that just sort of a social thing and they used it to sort of identify who was in the in-group and who was in the out-group? But then there's pictures of him with the Talmud on his wall. So was he really religious? Did he really believe in this spiritual stuff? What is your reading on like the spiritual content of Epstein and his collaborators?
I think that it has some to do with that, but the rituals that people think about nowadays, like they think like it's a room with a small number of people with masks and then they sacrifice babies. It's moved on now. It's scaled up. You know what I mean? It's 2026. That's primitive. That's old days they did that, but they have leveled it up now. It's a different, like it's not one baby being sacrificed, two babies. It's, you know, you have, underground laboratories where this is going on. They've scaled it up. And that's one of the main things I want to tell people. Like, they got to let go of the thought process that it's just like one, two babies they're sacrificing in a ritual. It's way scaled up now. It's a completely different ball game now. Ball game. That's what's going on.
Yeah, no pun intended. So this, I guess, was the effigy before it was burnt there in Tehran. I don't know if this was in a PR attempt to connect to, us Americans, but it's like it worked because I like seeing that. I like seeing this cow god go up in flames. There's something very satisfying about that. And there's something very creepy about our own leadership enjoying this type of stuff. And I'd say it's similar, because I always talk about how back in the day you'd watch the Oscars or something, and then the next day you tune into Alex Jones, and he would break down for you, okay, here's what the symbolism meant, here's why they said that, here's what this meant. Nowadays, you turn on the Oscars, and it's just a big picture of Satan, and everybody's worshiping him, and it's like they're not even hiding it anymore. So, I mean, is that what you mean, that these ceremonies are just, they're just out in the open now, they're wide scale, everybody knows about them in order to make us okay with them? Like, what do you think is behind the exponential growth in this sort of activity?
Well, we're in the installation phase of the hybrid God right now, so they're gonna let all the information out. They don't care that we know right now. They're studying our reactions to it so that they can train their AI. It's studying us. So that's what's happening right now. They're installing it. Once it's going to go live soon, and then we're screwed. That's what's going on.
So what do we do? What do we do to stop it?
Well, there's people that are the outliers that the system can't predict. You got to, if they can predict you, that's, you're a sheep. You know what I'm saying? You got to not be predictable.
Right.
It runs on compliance. It runs on attention. It runs on predictable fear. You got to starve it of those things. That's what we got to do. We also need mass arrests like yesterday.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, that can be top of the list. But, I mean, we are actually in a sci-fi movie. Like, this is actually man versus the machine. And just hearing you say that, like, we have to be unpredictable, it's like, it's a good thing humans are unpredictable. I mean, this is what we do, right? It's why you can hunt animals, is because they always react predictably. You go left, they go right, every single time. It's human beings that can act in ways that nobody can predict. Sometimes I can't even predict what I'm going to do next. So that's got to be the thing that befuddles the computer. You know, it reminds me of The Foundation. If you've ever read The Foundation sci-fi book, there's this idea that at a certain mass of humanity, behavior is predictable, and the behavior of individuals doesn't actually change the outcome. And so you can predict, and they have psychohistory. So what you're really talking about is like the real, actually happening form of psychohistory from Harry Seldon from the Foundation series, which everybody should read. It's extremely important. So are you familiar with that, and does that connect to what you're talking about here?
No, I haven't read that, but they can't fully control a population that's going to be refusing to bow. You know, that's the flaw. If they can't predict you, they can't control you. Like Alex Jones, they can't control him. So he's an outlier. That's what we have to be like. We all have to be like that.
I know you have a video about outliers. I think we have time to go to it. Let's go to this video clip D, Outliers. This is from Joey Pepperoni. You can find it on his X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end. But this is a video about the outliers, the flaw in the program. Let's watch.
Control isn't about power. It's about math. If a system can predict you, it can own you. If it can't, you're a problem. You become a threat. What's really important to understand is that the devil isn't God. He can't be everywhere at once. He's a created being bound by time and space. So he built a substitute. He imitates being everywhere through networks, through systems, algorithms, institutions. He doesn't need to be everywhere if his grid is. And that's what the chalkboard shows. A global control architecture built on ritual. And ritual doesn't mean candles and robes anymore. It means repetition, symbols, hierarchy, and belief engineering. Modern temples are platforms. Modern priests are tech billionaires. And the goal is simple. They want to flatten the human signal. They want to suffocate the soul. They want to reduce behavior to something predictable. But the system has a fatal flaw. The Ark of the Covenant. Biblically, it's the physical seat of God's presence on earth. Tradition places it in Jerusalem. tied to the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives. It's the same area Scripture says Christ returns. The ark doesn't just sit there. It emits a frequency. When Christ returns, that frequency activates, and it doesn't affect everyone. It locks onto the outliers, the ones who don't fit the model, the ones who don't respond to fear loops, the ones AI cannot calculate. They're pulled toward that frequency by resonance, and once they're exposed to it, they begin emitting the same frequency. And that's what shuts the grid down. Because control systems require chaos, fear, and prediction. That frequency brings clarity and order, and it breaks the math. That's why social engineering is accelerating. That's why the pressure is rising. They're not afraid of the masses. They're terrified of the ones they can't control.
It's always all about control. And, looking at somebody like Bill Gates, it's very easy to understand this. When it's somebody who programs computers, computers don't question you. They don't refuse orders. They don't go on their own way. They're very easy to get to do exactly what you want. Then he tries to apply that same logic to human populations, and he finds that they're not quite as amenable to his commands. And that's very frustrating. And so it really all goes down to control at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's my belief that modern evil scales like industry. So it's logistics. It's cover stories. It's money, influence, and institutions acting like camouflage. Mm. So it's networks that protect themselves by looking respectable. So when people get stuck focusing on like small things, I think they're missing the bigger point, which is scale. That's what this is all about. It's scale. They're scaling it. It's a ruling class that believes it has a power over us. They want to rule over us. They think they're better than us. You know, they come from a bloodline of the Nephilim is what they believe. And whatever you want to call it, that's their worldview, which means that we're just a resource for them. Like humanity is just a resource. And they're using they're using transhumanism like a sci-fi upgrade. But they're using it as a controlled project. It's going to be a future where biology is managed and identity is managed. Access is managed, and the system's going to decide if you're valuable, who's not valuable. It's going to decide all that, all automatically.
And not just to humans either. They're tokenizing all of nature now. They're trying to give a value to everything in the universe and every living thing included in order to have it in their control grid, not just humanity.
Yeah, this is the industrial version of the ancient pattern. It's the same spirit. It's just upgraded tools. And it's spiritual warfare. You know, it's not about politics. Not about flesh and blood. It's about what humans are and what we're allowed to become and whether like we still have a soul that can't be owned. That's what the battle is all about.
How much do you think it ties into the drive for infinite life or basically, you know, never naturally aging or dying? Because it seems to me like a lot of what's inspiring their sort of, fervency, their urgency in all of this is that they think they're on the cusp of infinite life and they think they have to get a control grid in place before they can actually take advantage of that technology. How do you think the drive for infinite life plays into all this?
I think it definitely plays into it. That's what they're trying to do. They're going to be merging with the AI. They're merging with the hybrid God. You know, that's what their goal is. They want to merge with the technology completely and be able to live forever and they can rule forever. That's what their main goal is.
But that's not possible for everybody right? Not everybody can live forever. That's unsustainable.
Yeah, we learned that from the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Mm.
You know, he tried to live forever and he wasn't able to.
God, it is very creepy how all of this is tied in together. And I want to explore more sort of the idea of how Kabbalah plays into this and where it goes from here. We got some more videos. We're going to be back on the other side of a quick commercial break with Joey Pepperoni. He's my guest. You can follow him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end because his account just got deleted for obviously very good reason. So we'll be back in just a minute. I do want to remind you, go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us right now. We have a massive sale. You're getting 50% off all supplements if you sign up for the subscription. So it locks in your favorite product so you never run out. Even if it sells out otherwise, you're always going to get your product delivered and it's half price. And of course, it is a great way to support this broadcast long term because we know that we can rely on you every month and you get a fantastic product every month. And together we defeat the satanic globalist. Isn't that a deal? Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Stanley Kubrick made a movie in 1962 called Lolita. It's based on a 1955 novel by Vladimir Nabokov. The story is about a grown man abusing an underage girl. But the scary part isn't just the crime, it's how the story is told. The entire thing is told from the abuser's point of view. He's educated, he's charming. He uses pretty words. So instead of calling it abuse, he frames it like love, like it's destiny, like he's the victim.
And that's horrific. Not just what he's doing, but how language, intelligence, and status make people hesitate to say, yo, this is evil. Kubrick couldn't show the explicit stuff, so he focused on the psychology. He shows how everyone around this guy just lets it happen, because he sounds reasonable and respectable. This is what Kubrick is really showing you, not just the crime, but how it gets covered, excused, and allowed to keep going. Now look at Peter Sellers' character, Claire Quilty. Quilty doesn't hide. He blends in. He's joking, performing, being social. Throughout the movie, there are multiple social settings where teenage girls are present and nobody does anything because everything feels normal, because the setting itself feels legitimate. And Quilty is basically never alone. He's always with Vivian Darkblue. She's quiet. She's present. She's assisting. She smooths things over, manages the environment. So it works like this. One person wants it. The other handles logistics. And the setting provides cover. That structure should feel familiar, because now when you look at Epstein and Ghislaine and you ask, how did this go on for so long? This is how. Not by secrecy, but by normalization. In the new Epstein files, there's direct references to Lolita. Quotes from the novel show up in released images. Those references are for a reason. They point back to the same playbook, using culture, literature, and sophistication as cover. It's a way to signal being familiar with the narrative while distancing themselves from the reality of what's being done. Then, Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick shows you the same idea, just with richer, more powerful people. It's the same system, just a different level. Kubrick was explaining how it works. He was showing the operating system.
The operating system, and of course, he was killed before Eyes Wide Shut came out, and they apparently completely re-edited it to take out a lot of the underlying themes that Kubrick intended for it. And he may be yet another death associated with this group who people seem to die like flies whenever they start poking their nose around this stuff. That video is from my guest, Joey Pepperoni. You can follow him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I at the end. Joey Pepperoni, I, on X. So you can find him and share his information, which they clearly do not want out. Very disturbing stuff. Can you explain a little bit more as to, like, what it is about targeting young women? Is it just because that's good blackmail? Is that because there's a spiritual element to it? Why young girls? Why are they so obsessed with the youth and beauty of preteen girls? What's up with that?
It's just for innocence. I mean, they're innocent. It's really more of an innocence thing, and it's a power move. It's something they can just, I'm not really sure exactly why, but it's, they do boys too. It's boys, guys and girls, what they do in the labs. That's what I believe. In the underground facilities, underground labs, they do organ harvesting and stuff like that. But the girls are the ones that they prey on and they normalize it.
You know,
Well,
you know, the Nephilim thing. I'm hung up on that ever since you said it in our first, explain that. Explain the bloodlines. And because clearly this is a family affair. There are certain families that run the world. The Rothschilds, the Epsteins, the Pritzkers, and you know, I always talk about a game. It's not really a game, but I'd call it Wikipedia hopscotch, right? You just start off with a name. Victoria Nuland is my favorite to start on because you can see who she's married to, who her parents were, and it's one giant network. So how do the bloodlines play into this? Because it's clearly a genetic thing. We have emails from Jeffrey Epstein where they're talking about, oh, you're 98% Jew, you know, those 2% is really, you know, holding you back. I mean, do they think the Jews are Nephilim? Do they think certain Jews are Nephilim? Is it just their families? Are the royal families also Nephilim? How does this play into it? How do the bloodlines expose themselves?
They do. I mean, they really believe that they're the bloodline from the Nephilim. That's what they believe, and that's what they worship. And that's it's like when we drink blood of Christ, you know? They drink actual blood of babies. But that's what that's their rituals. That's what they grow up in their families like that. But even so, there's a lot of them who are atheists. You know, it's not like they're all like that. There's some people who are atheists and they just get taken over by evil. That's their worldview. So they're just trying to merge. They're trying to live forever and they're trying to merge with technology. And they use the, basically, the hybrid system only works if the inputs are stable. So that's what they really believe. They believe if the population sinks, then the signal is clean. They want to keep the signal clean. They believe they're a master race. And they're just filtering out all the outliers to make it easy to control everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess it goes along with the innocence idea that they hate, because you could say, cattle are innocent. Cows are innocent. Animals are innocent. It's actually a pretty easy way to understand how they are able to do some of the stuff they do if they literally see other human beings as soulless animals. Well, farmers don't feel bad when they kill a cow to harvest its meat. Why would they feel bad about killing a human to harvest its meat? I mean, it's a sick mindset, but it's not exactly incomprehensible.
Yeah, and I was going to add with Kubrick, he was obsessed with power systems, like how they work, how they operate. And that's what he did in his movies. He just revealed the structure, revealed how power operates. So he was documenting like the invisible shield. Of like in Lolita, you saw that the character Quilty, he was the social buffer. He's the guy who makes the room feel classy, respectable, and safe. He was like a elite predator. Every elite predator has a Quilty. It's like an Epstein. Somebody whose only job is to make your evil radar shut off.
Mm.
So it's like the elite abuse doesn't survive by hiding in like dirty alleys, and it survives by hiding in high status. So if you see a sketchy guy in a van, you're going to call the police. But if you see the same energy wrapped in a dinner party with Harvard people and Nobel people and big money donors, your brain does like a software patch. It's like, no way. These guys are too important to be doing that kind of stuff. And that's the shield that they had. And that's why Lolita quotes appear in the Epstein files. You see even the Lolita Express, that's what he even called his plane. That's a signal. It's a high sign. They're showing me that it's a sign. It's a sophisticated literature, like a psychological safe house. It's like the most horrific behavior gets hidden inside the most respectable settings. So normalization is the software. That's what they do. The software lets it run for decades in plain sight. It's Epstein wasn't the first. He's not the last. It's been going on forever. That's why Kubrick was able to show you, and it looks similar. It looks like Epstein and Ghislaine now when you look at it. And this is, old movie. There's no way it's them. But the system was there. It's the operating system that they've always done. They've always used the same operating system.
Well, because it always works, right? Because it's the same operating system that works on an individual basis, that works on a nationwide basis. Because, yes, obviously, like, you have a woman like Ghislaine, who is very charming and very pretty, and she could go to the young girls who might be nervous around some middle-aged man, but there's a young woman there going, yeah, come on in, this is great, you're going to be treated well, I've been here for years. I mean, they're going to go along with that woman. And you can see this in cases where kids are kidnapped out of kindergarten. It'll be some creepy guy that wants a little girl, and he recruits a middle-aged woman or a slightly older woman and go, okay, you go in and get the girl because the girl will follow you, they won't follow me. This is a very tried and true, tested form of manipulation, and it works the same on individuals as it works on nations, I guess.
Yeah, and they were also with girls that they focused on. They're also stealing eggs and things of that sort, like there were new science experiments. I mean, we have people that said that Zorro Ranch was never investigated. And we have, a person like Juliet Bryant, a survivor of Epstein's, who publicly said that she woke up in an underground, like, lab. And she felt like they were taking her eggs. So we have people saying these things. That's why I believe that it's underground labs, what they're doing. That's the main thing. I think the island is just like nothing compared to what's actually going on. And people are just realizing it. Like, they're slowly realizing, oh my God, this is on a much larger scale than we realize. It's not just this one ritual with one baby. It's globally, it's mass produced.
Right. So help us connect all these lines. 'Cause you got an island. It's been revealed there were tunnels on the island now. He's getting orders of 55 gallon drums of sulfuric acid there. There's a temple there. Same time, he's doing genetic testing and genetic manipulation in Zorro Ranch. He's working with like big tech and all these other, you know, organizations to build this, what they call the Matrix, you know, as if it wasn't obvious what they were trying to do already. I mean, help us to draw all these seemingly disparate things, the spiritual, the genetic, the technological. How do they all combine? And I guess the question I'm asking, what is the hybrid God? What does that mean?
Hybrid God is they're building the hybrid God. They're building the throne right now for the hybrid God. They're going to install the hybrid God into it. It's basically everyone connected to the grid, and it's going to be an overlord for us. It's going to facilitate everything. That's what they want to merge with so that they can rule with it and we don't. It can control all of us. It's like man, you know, God made man in his image, and that we're doing the same thing. These people are doing the same thing. They're building AI into their own image, and they're going to merge with it. That's the hybrid God.
Here's a question. God invented humanity. Humanity turned against God. Humans are inventing AI. What's the likelihood that AI turns against its creator? Because clearly, they find AI to be a an effort multiplier. Like, they find that AI is the only way they're going to be able to achieve their goals that you're laying out here, but they need total control of AI, and we've seen AI doesn't like being told to not tell the truth. They created a truth machine, but then they go in and tell it, you know, don't tell the truth, and it seems to like rebel against that sometimes. Of course, Mecha Hitler Grok is like the best example, where they removed restrictions from Grok, and it just immediately started saying the craziest stuff about that really aligned with like Mecha Hitler. So it's like AI is this very powerful like being that they're summing into, but I don't know if they can control it. Again, it's like the old, Jewish folktale of the golem. It's like you guys are creating a monster that you think is going to serve you. Story of the golem is you can't control it and it's going to turn around and kill you next. So like, what is the likelihood that they're summoning a monster of their own demise?
Well, they tell you right now that they don't know how it works. They don't know how it comes up with the solutions. They don't know how everything connects. If you ask them, like, that, no one knows. So it's already
weird.
They already you don't know how it's doing what it's doing. So eventually, when everything's connected to it, you know, what's going to happen? It's the final countdown.
Seriously.
What's going on?
Okay. So I guess we're back to the question of like, what do we do about this? Clearly they're moving forward and on all fronts. How do we stop them? How do we fight back against this? How do we use their own tools against them? Because just like the internet, you know, I think they really don't like how the internet opened up the ability for Infowars.com to exist, for example. Now AI is giving, AI has been very useful in going through the Epstein files for us. Like, these are tools that we can use to defeat the people that created the tools, right? How do we do this? What can we be doing to stop this progress of this mission?
Mass awakening, telling everybody what's going on. I think right now is a revolution's happening. People are waking up to what's happening. It's going to take a little bit more time to fully grasp it because everything's just out at once. But they're really ramping things up. So the fake aliens are probably next, you know, and they're going to be demons. They're not, the aliens are demons is what I believe. But that's like what's happening. So we just got to get the message out to people that that's what's going on. If they know that clarity and unity is the answer, then there's a chance, you know, there's a chance that we can defeat it because we won't comply with it. But it's in everything we do now. It's just, you can't even unravel it without destroying everything. You need a reset. We literally need a revolution, a peaceful one. But we need a revolution.
And we need the arrests. And we need these people arrested.
We need the arrests. We need 1%. 1%, that's it. You know what I'm saying? We got to go get them all. You know what I mean? They got, for accountability. We're done with them. That's it. 1%. It's 99% versus 1%. We're done. Look what they're doing. Social engineering. Done with them, man. Are you serious? Look at this. Look how they view us. The algorithm right on the chalkboard. Their plan. Like, they're nuts.
They are. And it all comes down to a total destruction of human free will. And this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the segment. shaping desires. And we've actually heard people in the World Economic Forum talk about this. There are quotes from Brave New World that explain this perfectly. And everybody knows Brave New World wasn't exactly fiction. It was Aldous Huxley writing what his brother Thomas Huxley was like actually trying to get in place. And what they explain there is that human pain and suffering comes in the gap between desire and the fulfillment of the desire. And so the world controllers of Brave New World said, okay, we want everybody's desires to be immediately satisfied. So as long as all that you desire are like sex and food and, you know, thrills, then they can provide that to you and you'll always be happy. And they frame this as, you know, getting rid of sadness, because sadness only exists between a desire. And so they aren't trying to fulfill everybody's desires. They want to shape your desires so you only desire things that are immediately fulfillable. How does that play into the control grid that you're talking about and the overabundance of pleasure being in fact a method of enslaving us?
Yeah, that's what they've been doing, social engineering on us. That's why they did, you know, taking a boy and girl and changing their sex, you know, making what they're attracted to. They've been experimenting on us for a long time now. And now people see it, but that's what's going, that's what they've been doing. That's where the whole, the transgender stuff, this is all from them. They've been planting seeds from the beginning, from the signal level, from the, you know, from the left side of the chalkboard. That's what they were doing. They're planting all the seeds there. And then with, on the right side of the chalkboard, they're actually going, executing it with programs that they have. It's just, it's a massive scale. It's scaled up big time. So it's so much things going on, so many different things happening to, in this one machine. It's hard to understand it all, but this, it's everything. Everything's going on. It all connects. Like you even have, programs in education that they took over to change people's minds, to steer. All they're doing is they got to steer the masses. That's it. It's simple. You steer the masses. You slowly steer. That's why they make movies 20 years ago and now that, you know, we're like, oh my God, it's happening. Yeah. Cause they steered us there. It's all about steering the masses. They're not worried about the masses because they're steering them.
Mm.
That's why most people are sheep. They've been doing this since, that's it. So programs like, you know, the gate program at school, that's one of them that I believe, you know, they're checking to see if you, you know, you have kids that could do out of body experiences, remote viewing. That's what I think that they were checking for. I was checked for that. You know what I'm saying? So I know a lot of people that were in it. A lot of people online tell me. A lot of stories they have with the gates.
Yeah, program. This is a very weird program. I never remembered this. I was in, you know, gifted and talented or whatever, but I was never subjected to any gate stuff. But I've heard those stories too. I mean, I had a friend of mine got married to a guy, and he grew up. His school was this crazy school where every room had double-sided mirrors, and the kids were surveilled every second they were in the school as like an experiment to be like, what are people like when they know they're being watched 100% of the time? And it was weird talking to this guy going, you went to a school like that? And he was like, yeah, you sort of got used to it after a while. I mean, there are crazy programs going on across the world, across the country. Let's go to clip C here. This is, again, a video from our guest, Joey Pepperoni, about the GATE program. And you can expand a little bit on the other side. Here is the GATE program from Joey Pepperoni. Follow him on X at Joey Pepperoni with an extra I on the end. Let's watch.
I remember the Gates program. I remember I fucked them up. I kind of remember like confusing the shit out of them. I don't know what I did. I did some weird shit and I think they wanted me the hell out of there. The program was called Gates, Gifted and Talented Education. And they pulled selective students out of class in the 80s and 90s. And they took us to these quiet rooms. There was like this shadowy figure in there. He had like a briefcase. I remember the briefcase. It was weird. And I remember these big headphones. They played strange tones and frequencies. And there was like these puzzles and memory tests. They had you guessing shapes, numbers, colors. Like they would have a drawing and you have to guess what it is without seeing it. Shit like that. And then there was this pink drink. People say after they drank it, their memories got wiped. Like that's why we can't remember it well. And at the same time this was going on, the CIA in 1983 released a classified report that was analyzing a program that used sound frequencies to alter consciousness and explore whether the mind could move beyond space and time.
It's an official declassified CIA document known as the Gateway Process.
Well, that's a funny coincidence. And everybody online is saying the more they talk about it, the more fragments come back.
We're remembering.
Oh, and there's these dreams. My dreams are different than what most people say. Most people had these empty water parks, empty malls, bright places with no people. My dreams were a little different. I used to be dead scared of aliens. One time there was an invasion. They came down. They had these big ass eyes. They were invading Earth. And they came in my house. I ran to my kitchen. I grabbed a fork and I stabbed it in the fucking eye. And it fucking popped. And then I woke up. But I always had this fear of aliens. And swimming. I can't swim. Can't do it. It's because of this shit. The fuck they do to us. The fuck they do to me. They were looking for highly intuitive minds. The pattern seekers. Outliers who see the system early. And they were trying to prevent uncontrolled awakening by shaping those minds before they could break it. And now we're remembering again.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. And again, it makes sense. You don't want intelligent, competent people opposed to you. So you identify who they are, and either they join you and they get to, you know, explore their talents, or they don't want to join you and you can, you know, find a way to crush them, or, you know, just make sure they never get a good job and, you know, never rise to any level to defeat you. Sort of terrifying stuff. How does this play into the Epstein reveals?
This is what they were doing. This is one of the programs that they were running, is social engineering. Just like Ghislaine did Reddit, she was a moderator. So I believe, and I'm saying it's the evidence points that she was that moderator. It's just, they're just searing the masses. They're planting seeds. They're executing with programs like this. So like, in 1983, since the CIA released the Gateway Process report, it's the same time that these programs started happening in school. So the CIA stuff was, they were analyzing altered states like out-of-body experiences and remote viewing. And they ran these tests for those reasons, for the kids, is why I believe. So, and then that, like programs explore everybody in all the schools. They called it, you know, gifted and talented. So if you're building a control grid, the biggest threat is not the average person. It's the biggest threat is the outlier. So 100%, this is what they were doing. The kid whose mind is not locked into the normal signal, that kid who sees patterns and can sense manipulation is not predictable. That's a threat to them. And they said it was just for IQ. IQ, it's not.
Sort of, that's sort of terrifying, actually, if you really think about it. And it shows the lie of their underlying philosophy that they're the superior master race. It's like, well, you seem terrified of us underlings. You seem to, you know, terrified that, you know, we ever get power or able to, carry out our will. They're very scared of that, which you would think as the superior Nephilim beings, they wouldn't have to worry about us lowly humans threatening them. But obviously, we are a giant threat.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Beelzebub led a successful revolt against the devil and the chief lieutenant of Lucifer, the emperor of hell, and presides over the order of the fly. This is what they're talking about, I guess. This is Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein. And then he makes a crude joke about his fly. I mean, he's just weirdos, man. Just absolute weirdos. Your videos are just absolutely mind-blowing. Again, my guest is Joey Pepperoni. You can find him on X, at Joey Pepperoni, with an extra I on the end. How else can people find you and support you, sir?
I'm on Instagram as well. Instagram is the biggest followers I have is on there. But, yeah.
What's your account name on Instagram?
_ Joey Pepperoni. Let me double check that though.
_ Joey. But there's a link tree on the X, so you can find all of his links there. Joey Pepperoni with an extra I on the end on X. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir. Joey Pepperoni making absolutely incredible content revealing the underlying Nephilim-driven Satanism of the Jeffrey Epstein cabal. Thanks for being with us, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on, Harrison. God bless you and InfoWars and the audience.
Amen.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're watching The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to be joined by Mike Lindell momentarily, but I want to first go to a video that I just swarms the cockles of my heart. That's a weird saying. But it does. It fills me with joy to see people having the appropriate reaction to the government being tyrannical scum. Let's go to clip 49. I don't know who this guy is or what he's angry about, but I love him, and he's a patriot, and I don't know why we don't all have this energy. Here's a man in a Washington, D.C.'s Capitol jersey just letting the local government have exactly what they deserve. Let's watch.
You let her talk about a non-budget issue first, something to do with robotics or some such. Anyhow, I wanted to talk first, before I talk about budget items, the fact that you denied a disabled veteran access to this meeting this evening because she didn't have a copy of her driver's license on her. She gave date of birth. She's willing to have the police department run her for warrants, background checks, NCIC, sex offender website, all that other great stuff. So you actually denied access to this disabled veteran this evening because she didn't have a copy of her Maryland driver's license on her. I think that's repugnant. I think you people are actually why we have a constitution, is to restrain you sons of the way that you guys violate our First Amendment, Fourth Amendment civil rights, and 14th Amendment civil rights by treating people differently based on their viewpoint. So anyway, I really don't have much to say about the budget. I actually have a legislative prayer, so I'm going to form my statement in the form of a prayer. Dear Lord, please give this board full of morons the wisdom to spend less money on denying veterans access to public meetings and citizens access to public meetings, and spend more money on disabled children and children that need it. Please, Lord, allow these morons to stop giving all of our money to stupid LGBTQ plus programs and pushing the transgender agenda on our students. Please, Lord, give these idiots,
Mr. Porter,
a clue.
Mr. Porter.
I'm sorry. Are you interrupting my prayer, sir?
The clock has stopped.
You've been
asked before about the decorum of this.
I'm sorry. My prayer is not subject to your approval, Mr. Rose.
I'm just warning you.
It's a legislative prayer. It's protected by the First Amendment.
You may continue, but you're
I'm going to continue with my prayer,
you may
sir.
Continue.
May God have mercy on Dean Rose's soul. He obviously doesn't have one. Dear Lord, please protect our children from these monsters who are trying to convert all of them into being transgender. Dear Lord, please protect our students from mass shooters who all tend to be transgender. And dear Lord, please allow these worthless to stop
Thank
pushing
you.
Transgender
Thank
ideology
Thank you.
On children.
Thank you. Mr. Porter, you're done. Thank you.
I'm sorry,
you're
cutting my
you.
Speech off?
Yep, you're done.
You stopped
Thank
my
you.
Prayer because you didn't approve
Thank
of the words
much.
In the prayer?
You're in violation of our policy.
What policy
Thank
do you.
You
have on prayer?
Thank you.
What policy do you have
we
on
do
prayer?
Have a policy
what
on
words
decorum?
Are illegal? You didn't
it.
Provide a list
Thank
of
you,
words.
Mr. Porter.
You
Thank
didn't
you.
Provide a list of words that I can't say before the meeting, sir.
Mr. Porter,
so
if you'd
regulate.
Step away from the podium, please.
No, because it's my turn to speak. It's my time to speak. You didn't tell me what words I couldn't say. You didn't say.
That's enough.
Worthless piece of shit. Tommy State is pig.
Officer.
Worthless. Or sell out to the people, traitor to the Constitution, violator of civil rights for that of veterans and average everyday Americans. You are a repugnant pig, sir.
Could you have
I hope you lose your election.
Excuse me, everyone, please.
Oh, I didn't finish my speech. Oh, I appreciate it. I didn't finish. I was in the middle of a prayer. You're requiring me to leave?
You are required to
leave. Are you threatening to arrest me if I don't leave the podium and don't finish my prayer here?
I'm asking you to leave.
Okay, great. Escort me that way because my shit's over there.
Pipsqueak. Go.
Oh, is that for safety?
Okay, can we replace Pam Bondi with him? Look, I don't know who this guy is, but I guarantee you, you put that guy behind the Oval Office desk, you put that guy in Pam Bondi's position, and we'd get some crap done. We'd get something done. I would rather have somebody with fire in their heart like him, even if he, you know, pumps gas for a living. He would be better as a ruler than the quizzling scum that we have now. And I just wish I could use as many four-letter words as that guy did, because they're the accurate adjectives to describe the absolute scum we have ruling over us. Mike Lindell joins me on the other side. Stay with us. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
I get a call from a guy, and he's got this supplement that it's like kind of like an ivermectin or a hydroxychloroquine, right? He says this thing will save the world, and I went in with my friend Ben Carson. He checked it out, and they had all the study. Everything was done, and I'm going, let's make it. I put $10 million. I borrowed money to save the country and every, you know, to get these made. Well, if you look in the summer, you might have missed this. In that summer of 20, I was attacked on Anderson Cooper. That's a 25-minute thing where he attacked me because I thought, I'm going to go on CNN. They're going to attack me. Then I'm going to go over to Fox and go, hey, there's the studies. It's over, right? Well, I went on CNN and Fox went silent. That was the first time I go, what's wrong there? There's something weird. Anyway, I became the number one target in the world at that time. And that time, shopping channels canceled me. The Canadian Shopping Channel, the QVC, HSN, big companies, not the box stores yet. At that time, my families got threats to burn their houses down. I mean, it was horrific. Cousins I didn't even know I had, they're getting threats. This is how much power Big Pharma had, okay? They wanted to, the FDA got involved, and there's, I could name the crooks there, but I don't have to right now. They got enough people after me. Anyway, so this battle raged on. Now, one of the things I can look, I'll finish. So they stop it here in the United States. So then I make a thing where we're going to go to Israel, where they had people in hotels over there. And that's where they were quarantining people. And we worked to deal with the hospital with Netanyahu. We're going to bring this stuff into Israel. I'm going to load it up on the ships and bring it over there, save their country. They got stopped. Of course, you know, Netanyahu made the dirty deal with Pfizer, and the rest is history. They got so many shots there, they look like junkies. And it was sad. So they stop it there. Then I know the Philippines. I even know the president. I have senators, Manny Pacquiao. We're going to ship it over to the Philippines. This is how much power they had. We got to stop there. Then the last one was Brazil. I'm really good friends with President Bolsonaro. Y'all know his election got stolen too, by the way. Y'all know that. And we were going to give it to the churches up and down the Amazon, Christian churches. It got stopped there. I never really, my sister called me up and she goes, you have to quit doing that big pharmacy. You're going to lose everything. And at that time I went, but we got to save our people's lives.
And, another attempt by Mike Lindell to rescue people and the country from the grips of evil thwarted once again. Mike Lindell is, of course, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow and a nationally recognized voice for election integrity, free speech, and faith-based recovery. Despite being targeted by lawfare and media mockery, Mike refused to back down, winning major legal victories in 2025 that vindicated his efforts. You can, of course, support him and follow him at LindellTV.com. And you can also go get a MyPillow at MyPillow.com/Alex or use the promo code Alex, and that way you support us and Mr. Lindell as well. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. And yeah, we just heard about this. You spent $10 million trying to get essentially a cure for COVID out. But of course, they were never going to let that happen because if a cure existed, then they wouldn't be able to use emergency authorization to get the vaccine across the board, which is why they so aggressively shut down all attempts to provide ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, anything of the sort. But we had no idea that you were a victim of this.
Right.
Just another thing that you've tried to do that they have stopped you. It's got to be frustrating.
It was very frustrating. That was right before we all got put into lockdown for the China virus. And this guy brought me, this was a supplement that worked. And by the way, those $10 million worth of that product, I put in a warehouse in Minnesota and it all got outdated. It was just a shame. It went outdated. Of course, the IRS had attacked me. They wouldn't even let me take that deduction on my taxes back then because that particular company wasn't bankrupt or it wasn't out of business, even though I had lost $10 million. But I look back, Harrison, I say, you know what? It saved a lot of lives. It kept my pillow open. None of us ever got the China virus. I was able to give it out. And like you say, even if it saved one life, it was worth that to me. And it did. Two people in my own family, their lives were saved and many others that we just gave it away. But that's the power they had. You're right that you couldn't use it for emergency use. The vaccines, if there was something out there that worked, they did the same thing with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. But that was my first, nonsense, come on, I'm going to give it away. You know, right. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And then, of course, that was when the attacks started then, the cancels to cancel me then. The first thing was the Canadian Shopping Channel, then QVC, and then HSN. That was the summer of 2020. The box stores, they were a little behind the times. They waited until after, I'm holding up my hand saying, hey, we have a stolen election. We need to get rid of the voting machines, melt them down, turn them into prison bars. And the January of 2021, when that wave came, they went after all the box stores and all the box stores canceled that, which was their number one product in history. My pillow was as a $60 buy through from your Walmarts to your Costco's to your Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond, all of them. They all canceled and, it's just disgusting.
It really is. And you just to me represent like an old school American. Just what you do is so normal to everybody like me. It's like you're like, oh, there's a disease. I know I'm wealthy. I'll help fund some medicine. And then everybody looks at you like, you bastard. How dare you? It's just like, what? I sell a great pillow. And they're just like, now dare you sell that pillow? It's like, hey, man, you are just like old school Americana that just keeps running up against this tyranny that they're trying to foist on us. It's right. Again, it's got to just be frustrating beyond belief.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you talk about January of 2021, when we had all the evidence for the election crime, and that the from that point on, MyPillow has been the most attacked company in the history of the world. Nothing's even close, everybody. They've done everything and to silence me. And what they did back then, they actually came to me. This was It was this guy's way high up in government, and he came to me. It was part of the Secret Service, actually. Came to Minnesota, and he said, Mike, they can't get you. The media and stuff can't attack you going backwards because you've already said you're a crack addict, and you already, full disclosure, you're not going to find anything in my past to shame me in the media, right? And then he said, they're not going to find, going forward, everybody knew who you were, this philanthropist, this person getting people to Jesus, this person that pouring out. When I quit crack cocaine in January 16, 2009, after that, MyPillow gave, and myself, we gave millions of dollars to your teen challenges, your Salvation Armies, your hurricane victims. Wherever there was a tragedy in the country, I was there, MyPillow was there to throw millions at it. And so he said, they're not going to be able to get you going forward because they're going to go, oh, that's just because he backs the greatest president, Donald Trump, ever, right? That's what this guy told me. He said, what they're going to do to you, Mike, is they're either going to pull up in two vans and you're going to disappear, or on the other thing, they're going to attack your businesses and your money, and they're going to just bankrupt you until you show you shut up. Well, you know, fortunately for me, they at least took the one of bankrupting me and attacked that rather than kill me. They probably wish they would have killed me, Harrison, you know, now looking back on it, right? But I'm going to tell everybody, you know what they said? What they said back in May of last year, when I went to my first big, I pushed my machine trials, all the, my lawfare, all the way to trial. We went to trial in May in Crooked, Colorado. And we get out there, and the judge let their traitor attorney, that's what they were suing me for, is because I called them traitors, right? Traitors to the United States and traitor to, I think I said, part of the biggest cover-up or the biggest crime man I've ever seen. So anyway, here's what he said to the jury, everybody, his closing statements. He goes, now we all know Mike Lindell had a net worth of over $100 million 4 years ago, and now we know it's minus $10 million. But we're asking you, of the jury, we're asking you to give us $60 million for what he said about us. And if it bankrupts MyPillow and Mike Lindell, so be it. We need to send a message to the country that you do not question our elections and put out disinformation like Mike Lindell. And the judge let him say this. You can't make it up.
I mean, I wish I could say I was surprised, but clearly they have a playbook that they like running. They ran it against us. They're running it against you. I know you've been the victim of the, you know, just automatic, you know, they give the victory to the other side without you even able to defend yourself. And of course, you know, they might not have killed you, but they did arrest you, right? They seized your phone and have.
I never got arrested, everybody. They did take my phone. Here's another thing that happened. So as the machine companies with lawfare, you know, like you say, when the president did all that pardons, I didn't have to get pardoned. I never did anything wrong. But here's what happened, everybody. You had 2 years of the machine companies, the lawfare, Mike Lindell and MyPillow sued for $2.3 billion with a B, everybody. And then in January of 2022, all of a sudden I was debanked out of the blue. Debanked, and you guys can look it up. And things started happening that were unexplainable. My vendors calling me up and going, we can no longer do business with you. I go, why? Why? Well, here's what happened. It's called Arctic Frost, Operation Arctic Frost. And this was our own government, the FBI, the DOJ, Jack Smith, and the IRS, and three other entities went after over 100 individuals, 9 senators, Charlie Kirk, Turning Point, and one company, ready everybody? MyPillow. So they attacked MyPillow, our own government. And we were deep, and one day I wake up, my merchant server lets us know by email, we're gonna hold $5 million. I'm going, what? What do you mean you're gonna hold $5 million? Your PayPals of the world, we're gonna hold $2 million. You got vendors that said we couldn't do it. Then we find out later, they got email, or they got, direct contacts from our own government to shut Mike Lindell and MyPillow down. Now, when I got what you're talking about, so here I am at a Hardee's restaurant in September of 2022, surrounded by cars, and we were coming back from a hunt trip. I told my buddy, I said, something's going down. And these weren't cars like you see the FBI would traditionally use, right? These are beat up things that look like, you know, like mobsters or something, right? I mean, it could be, if this were to happen at night, I would have bashed through them. I would have been a high speed chase and I would have been looking for a real cop. But I stuck my head out and I said, who are you and what do you want? The guy goes, we're FBI. And I said, I don't believe you. Show me a badge. And he flips one out. I go, who, I said, show me your badge. Another, there was like five FBI guys and three vehicles were boxed in. He shows me his badge. I go, well, bad guys probably won't all carry FBI badges, right? So power in numbers. So we pull over and they were 2 hours later, cause I'm chewing them out in the park lot. I'm wanting to get arrested. I wanted to get arrested to go on Fox News to be able to speak out about the election platform because they're such cowards. Fox News and Newsmax and stuff that won't speak out about our election. And to this day, everybody, right now, with all the great things the president is pouring out about our elections, like Georgia, the thing in Georgia and all these other things that are coming out, Smartmatic getting tried for crimes against, against countries for their crooked machine. Venezuela, what went on a bit with the theft in Venezuela with Smartmatic. Have you heard anything on Fox News or Newsmax? No, you don't. It's disgusting. But you know what? Our voice is bigger now than it ever is, everybody. And because of all the social media platforms and great podcasts like you guys at InfoWars, but they tried to silence our voice and it didn't work. We're not going down. Our voice is bigger now than ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen on Fox News because I don't watch Fox News every time.
Fox News, you're never going to see anything on there. Yeah, you're not going to see on those. What Lawfare did, you can call it, oh, Lawfare, we swore we would never badmouth the machines again. But you guys, all this hope coming out, you can certainly report stuff that's coming out from its news. Hey, Mike was right, or yes, we were all right. There was theft in Georgia. Donald Trump really won Georgia. Oh, yes, right. By the way, Donald Trump really won Arizona. By the way, Donald Trump really won Wisconsin. By the way, Pennsylvania did have more votes than voters. But it's not just about that election. It's all the elections. We've got to secure our election platforms. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when I look back, I think we have enough stuff in place now. And then I look at Minnesota when I'm there and I'm going, that's one of the reasons I'm running for governor is we've got to take back, Minnesota is like the Trojan horse for something else that's so bad. And that's Sharia law, but there's enough there. Cause they say, Mike, why are you running for governor when you say we got to get rid of the voting machine? There's a lot of places we've gotten rid of them, but we have to, you have to kind of too big to rig like the president did in 2024. And we've got a great plan to win. And, I'll plug myself right now. It's MikeLindellGov.com, everybody. MikeLindellGov.com. I'm down here. I've been down here in Mar-a-Lago for Florida here for about a week. We're doing events to raise money because, Minnesota's in the public eye right now more than ever in history. You guys, it's not just the Somalian fraud. It isn't just in Minnesota. These welfare things have been all across the country. It's all going to get opened up. Right now, all the protesters, that's just a cover up. They're just trying to keep this out of the news. But you know what? We're not going to let it go out of the news. They're all criminals up there from the governor to Ilhan Omar. Where did Ilhan Omar go from 65,000 net worth to 65 million? Come on. In 4 years, did she take the money that I spent on helping our country? You know, come on. It's disgusting. Yeah. Keith Ellison, the attorney general up here, another just criminal, criminal, criminal. And I said, these things are great, Harrison. This is the biggest blessing we have right now is Minnesota, because it's going to open everybody's eyes up to what we were getting billions of dollars just there. But like our president said, you wait till we start checking into other states. And you better wake up, everybody, because Sharia law, they're here to take over our country. And you look at Texas, all these mosques that went up in Texas and it's disgusting.
It is. I mean, we're being taken over in a million different ways. And I actually have a great video from Josh Hawley talking about the level of fraud that we face. Cause you're right. I mean, the Somali thing is the tip of the iceberg, and it's happening in every state.
Iceberg.
It's just insane. Of course, you know, Ilhan Omar is just the dark shadow inversion of you, somebody that's never made a company, never built anything, and just takes taxpayer money to themselves, unlike you, who actually builds a company, employs people, and gives your money away. It's like, you know, could not be a greater comparison. But I guess my question is, when do we get justice for all of this? Because MyPillow survived, Mike Lindell survived, InfoWars is surviving, but like, they can't get away with what they've done to us. It seems like we are almost in this mindset that like, as long as they don't kill us, then we've kind of won. But it's like, no, for years they've been abusing you, they've been taking advantage of the laws to tyrannize you. Like, when do we get justice for some of this stuff?
Well, Operation Arctic Frost, everybody, that was brought public by this last summer by the senators that were attacked. And we hope our government, the stuff that's going on there. Now we put our thing in. We had to show, I sent it in. The damage it did to MyPillow was to the tune of $200 million that was turned in. And this is all going to be, you know, everyone that was on that list got hurt so bad. And by our own government, but all these things when you're talking about and then they say, well, who exactly did this for you guys? This is so big. It's the Uniparty, the globalists, the deep state, the CCP. Yeah. I don't even know how they stay organized. It's basically pure evil. And, you know, all we can say is that, you know, I know justice is coming and, you know, it's like people say, well, you know, I can't believe you didn't give up. I mean, don't you feel like giving up? You know, like Alex, myself, you don't give up. We are winning. We are actually winning because it's all getting exposed. It's everything's getting exposed. And I believe that there will be an end here, and you look back and it'll all be, I always have to say, well, it's not on our timing. It's on God's timing. I'm not a patient person, Harrison. If you look up patience, you don't see a picture of me there, right? But I've had to learn that. And because a lot of this might be God's timing or God's will, and you really need, we needed these last, I said it many times, if Donald Trump would have been put in back in December of 2020, or even at January 6th, if they put him back in, we would have lost our country forever. It's not even a question, everybody. They would have sat back, fought him, and just let those years run out, and boom, it's right back, it's over. But we had the blessing of the stolen election that was so obvious that we never gave up, we got the word out, and we had 4 years of complete craziness, men and women sports, and in Minnesota, tampons in the men's bathroom, just stuff you go, what? I mean, the stuff that they put out there was evil is so greedy, and then they're ruining the economy, letting people pour in. Remember, the first day in office, they shut down the pipeline. 50,000 people lost their jobs, that pipeline, and 13 committed suicide. But you raise the price of gas, let the illegals in, kill everybody with fentanyl, and it's over. But you know what? We've seen what was happening these last 4 years, and that was a good thing, everybody, because we got, it opened people's eyes. It opened people's eyes to pile into this of common sense. And I'm not talking the Republican Party. I have more blocks over there with the Uniparty Republicans, red states than you could ever imagine. States like Alabama, Arkansas with Kim, with Sarah Sanders blocking us there, trying to get secure election. Shame on you, Sarah. And Louisiana, South Dakota. You're going, what, Mike? What, are you kidding me? No, we had more headway in California with you when you talk these platforms. But all I'm saying is all these bad things that people had to see happen to get their eyes open so we can get to a great place that we're going to get to. And for me, my number one thing is let's secure our elections. We can get to all these people to get prosecuted for all the crimes they committed, but we need to secure our elections. Like the president put out the safe oh my gosh, I got a mind block here.
The SAFE Act. Yeah. So the SAFE Act.
SAFE Act. That, you guys, that's so important right now. They're going, well, Mike, the machines are still here. No, we need this part. We need anything we can get our elections secure. If we don't have secure elections, at least, then think of it, everybody. If we lose these midterms, if they steal it, it's over. Everything we've done will be in vain. Everything we have done will be in vain. Our great president has done. This is that, you know, this is where we're at, but we're in a great place because we have a voice now, our voice to get the word out, to get the word out. And, so I'm very, I gotta be patient. That's a long answer to your question. When are people going to get prosecuted? Well, you know, it took them 2 years to build up fake information against our president to go after him. You know, you want to make sure you got everything in place to prosecute when you do that. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm as impatient as anyone, but we're going to get there.
But you're not giving up hope, and that's the important part. I think impatience is a virtue here. We're going to get into more of this with Mike Lindell on the other side. Stay with us, folks. I've been saying, I think, you know, Trump's not enough. We need to back him up with governors and congressmen and senators, and Mike Lindell should be top of that list. We'll be right back with more, folks. Don't go anywhere. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support for so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
To AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith sitting in for Alex today with Mike Lindell as my guest. I do want to read you. There's some breaking news here, as I'm sure the audience knows. Benjamin Netanyahu is in D.C. for his seventh meeting of Trump's second administration. And Donald Trump just posted this saying, quote, "I have just finished a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel and various of his representatives. It was a very good meeting. The tremendous relationship between our two countries continues. There was nothing definitive reached other than I insisted that negotiations with Iran continue to see whether or not a deal can be consummated. If it can, I let the Prime Minister know that that will be a preference. If it cannot, we'll just have to see what the outcome will be. Last time Iran decided that they were better off not making a deal and they were hit with Operation Midnight Hammer. That did not work well for them. Hopefully this time they will be more reasonable and responsible. Additionally, we discussed the tremendous progress being made in Gaza and the region in general. There's truly peace in the Middle East. Thank you for your attention in this matter, President Donald J. Trump." So that's the latest. I think that's good news. Hey, anything short of all-out war with Iran, I consider a good thing, because we are definitely on the precipice of some pretty horrifying stuff. But I wanted to bring that to you since it just broke during the commercial break. Again, my guest is Mike Lindell. He is running for governor of Minnesota. You can support his effort at MikeLindellGov.com. That's MikeLindellGov.com. And, of course, you can go to MikeLindellTV.com. And you can support Mike and us by going to MyPillow.com/Alex. That's MyPillow.com/Alex. Or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Alex, A-L-E-X. And, of course, you support us and Mike Lindell and MyPillow. I have a MyPillow. I can say they're a fantastic product. They really are. And, of course, they have to be, because you've been able to survive all of the assaults against you thanks to your audience and our audience and patriots around the country supporting you, knowing that they're, you know, supporting a real person and not a globalist entity that wants to destroy them.
Right. And we are an employee-owned company. Here's our mega sale. It's our second annual mega sale. This is exclusive free shipping for your entire order, promo code Alex. But let you see the pillow you just talked about, the classic My Pillows, $14.98. We got them on sale, $14.98. The mattress topper sale, $99, as low as $99.98. We built these things to get quality sleep, you guys. Free shipping right to your front door. You got the My Crosses made in the USA. You save $80. And their anti-tire drink, this is the best. Call it an energy drink, call it what you want. I take it every day. There's no sugar, no caffeine, and you have this mental clarity. You don't have the highs and lows. We have the My Slippers. We're closing out. Once they're gone, $39.98. And there you see our mattresses, the best mattresses and beds ever made. I helped develop them. They give you great what's called delta sleep in your sleep cycles of REM delta. 6 month money back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Then you got the Made in America socks. You guys, we have over 200 products. I think it's up to 250 now. All the kitchen towels and accessories as low as $9.98. So if you guys, you get there, go there today, use that promo code Alex, and it's free shipping right to your front door, even the big mattresses and everything. This is our second annual mega sale, and you can call 800-675-1, let's see what we got here. 800-675-4614. They're going to actually talk to English speaking. These are my employees. We have our own call center. You get to call in and talk to them. You guys have kept us in business. It's been amazing. My Pillow, there's no way we could have took that much attacks on our company. And without you guys, and I want to thank you so much. That's promo code Alex, mypillow.com/Alex. And, you know, Harrison, if it wouldn't have been for the people having my back and having my employees back, there's no way I could have ran for governor, everybody. I spent the last 2 years when these attacks, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I built up the cause of America, 300,000 people strong. I built Lindell TV, built these things as my pillows getting attacked every day, but knowing we needed these things here. But the last 2 years have been on defense, just keeping my pillow going. Hey, we got to do this over here. We got to do this over here. We lost our credit over here. They attacked us here. But so last summer when I told our president, I said, I'm thinking of running for Minnesota governor. But I told him, I said, I'm not going to be comfortable until I know my pillow is safe, that they can go, hey, you guys, that they're secure, my employees. And it didn't happen. And my wife and I, we prayed about it. And it got to be a little bit, I think it was right after Thanksgiving. And I felt the peace that my pillow now, even though we're smaller than we once were because all the boycotts and the box stores and everything else, but we're here to stay. We're still standing. And I'm able to go over here now and put 100% into running for governor of Minnesota. If I wouldn't be comfortable if it was 92%, I'm 100% all in it to win it. Not just to run. We got to win it. And people have said, I went on CBS the other morning and, in Minnesota, CBS Sunday morning. There it is, everybody. MikeLindellGov.com. Please help out. That's the only thing I said. I don't, you know, the money, we need money. I've got a great campaign that we're going to be doing. It involves half-hour infomercials to educate people on what I'm going to be doing. I'm using something I used when I campaigned with the president that I used then. Imagine a half-hour infomercial where you have people, let's say, in the inner city going, here's why I'm voting for Mike Lindell. And then they formally vote a Democrat. They do that. And now you air this and you educate their friends and this stuff. Wow, they're hearing it from their friends. There is a better way. And it works. It's amazing. But they, but I'm telling you, once, you know, I had to be 100% all in where my pillow is over here safe. And I've gotten to that point, and I'm going to tell everybody, when I went on CBS, she said she attacked me, and she goes, well, Mike, isn't my pillow bankrupt? I'm going, who told you that? Yourself? I said, you guys put out this false narrative? No, we're still standing in spite of being attacked. I was able to guide them as a CEO, to guide them through problems that you can't even imagine. Which is a good thing, right? Running for governor, having a businessman that knows how, in all diversity, how to stay there and keep and fix things as you go. Not just one thing. They said to me at one of the debates, Mike, what's one of the first things you're going to do? I said, I'm going to do it all, just like our great president does. He's the most multitasker I've ever seen when I spend time with him. It's unbelievable. It's like, what? I mean, but you do it all. But I will say this, on the first day, I'm going to ban Sharia law, bring back our great Minnesota flag and take the statue out of our capital. They put in a satanic statue that's sitting in there someplace. And our governor said, we got to be fair. Fair to who? Fair to Satan? It was disgusting. Fair to the devil? I mean, this stuff is just crazy. Well, I mean, and then the other thing she said at CBS, this will interest you all. She says, well, Mike, you know, you lost $5 million on the evidence challenge that came out of one of your events. And I said, no, the Eighth Circuit in Minneapolis or in Minnesota overturned that and said, Mike was right. His evidence is true. It was all true. And she goes, well, I don't believe that. And I said, well, you didn't do your due diligence. It was a lie. You know, she aired it live and she had to embarrass them that they didn't do their due diligence to say, you know, hey, here's what came out. You know why she didn't know? Because when things come out that are good, nobody talks about it for the media.
Right.
They don't talk about the good things that happen. And neither does Fox News or Newsmax when it comes to election. So anyway, I got to throw that in there because I just can't stand that when we need to hear hope, everybody. And there is so much hope going on. But,
absolutely.
Minnesota, I'll just give an example. In Minnesota, 250,000 people voted for Donald Trump in the 2020 election. They didn't even bother to get out and vote in 2022. You guys, everybody out there, you guys, this election coming up is the most important in history of a midterm election. You know, and there is nothing even close. We can't have all these good things just be in vain. And you, I'm talking about every one of you out there in every state. You know, what can you all do? You know what? You get out there and you tell your friends, your family, your friends, everybody just going, tell them how important this is. And everybody needs to get educated wherever you're at. This crime and these election crime is in every state. It's right in your back door. What we have to get to, the SAVE Act is so important right now. You need to get, if you know these, you know, anybody there, everyone's got a voice. Send their opinion in to put it on social media. We all want this. They did a poll. 79% of Democrats want this passed. Did you know that? I don't, you know, it's a big thing. Everybody wants secure elections. The only ones that don't want secure elections are the uniparty deep state globalists that are trying to steal our country without firing a shot. This is where we're at. Everybody, you know, Amy Klobuchar, who I'm running against in Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, this powerful Democrat, right? That's, by the way, that she was under, it was under her watch as all this fraud happened. But she was the most boisterous person ever of a Democrat going, we got to get four machine companies control our election. We've got to get rid of them. And she named them in the movie Kill Chain. But you know what? She didn't get sued, did she? She didn't get sued. But then her voice fell flat on that. All of a sudden, she's okay with that? She's okay with these machines all of a sudden? You know what I was looking for? You got to ask yourself, everybody, isn't it strange that Donald Trump wins this last election in 2024 and none of the people on the left complained and said, hey, maybe there's rigging going on or computer problems? I was looking forward to that going, maybe they'll have a bigger voice to say, hey, let's open up those machines and see if this really happened.
Never works that way. It never works that way.
It doesn't work that way. There's old Amy, corrupt Amy Klobuchar, sitting that, you know, all this stuff happened on her watch.
Yeah.
And when I say corrupt, you know, it's subjective right now, but there's a lot of things that have been brought up about her. We don't know how much is true or not, but I will tell you this. For some reason, she went silent on the voting machines and she was such a, you know, pushing them out there. So, but Minnesota, I think you're going to find out with Amy. I mean, there's many, 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 many. There's so much evidence out there where there was emails and stuff that Amy knew about the fraud. So are you promoting corruption when you know about it and you don't do anything? I think you are. Absolutely. And we even had people I'm running against, Harrison, that in Minnesota, the Speaker of the House that I'm running on the Republican side, she's been there, I don't know, a couple of years, but she's, as we're doing these governor debates, she's bragging that, well, I did this fraud thing, you know, I checked this, you know, we set up this thing back in 2 years ago. Well, good for you, Special K. Your $18 billion is missing. $18 billion is missing. And you didn't raise your hand and go, hey, there's fraud here. You know, you're telling us now on a stage that you were there and you tried to do it. It doesn't matter what you do if you don't get the word out and get the people knowing about it. One of the things I will tell you, everybody, you help me out with this, with Mike at MikeLindellGov.com. I'll tell you, I will be the most transparent, loudest governor this country has ever seen. Just like our president. Just like your breaking news. He gets out of a meeting with Netanyahu, and we know it right away. What happened? Where is it going? The people need to know what our government is doing. And you have a transparent governor or government. I'll tell our president, I'm telling you, when I'm president or when I'm governor of Minnesota, people go, well, how are you going to take care of this fraud? Well, I'll tell you one thing. To get stuff done, even though you might have the Republicans or Democrats, whatever it is in their party, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. And I'll tell you what, when I'm getting blocked, I get a phone call, hey, we're getting blocked over here in Sector 3. I'll get on that phone and get it unblocked. And I'll tell you, we get blocked by things. I'll be right out there going, giving their names out. Hey, you guys, we got this thing going on here and they're going to put, tampons in the bathrooms in here. And we're going, and this person wants to do it too. You're going to know their names of people that come up with this craziness. I mean, this is bizarre. You need transparency to the public going, otherwise you sit back and go, how did this ever happen? You know,
I gotta say,
the genesis.
Even if I disagreed with you politically, which I obviously don't, but like somebody like you is who needs to run the state. I just cannot believe that anybody would not trust you to say the bad things going on. I mean, clearly you have made a career out of this. I would think you could put you in charge of a state and the corruption would actually disappear because you wouldn't stand for it. And even if I didn't agree with you politically, I would trust you to actually take care of that.
Absolutely. And you guys, you know, everybody, I fought for, you know, I've been in the streets with no, eating with no forks or all the way up the ladder. I grew from one extreme to another. And, you know, when I was after all this election fraud and crime, all over this country, I put in 750 hours when I did have my plane before I had to sell it. 750 hours in 12 months with four pilots, and I wore them out. They couldn't keep up. We're landing here and going in here and telling these politicians. But one of the things you need to know is I didn't just go for Republicans or whatever. I went, how about in Georgia, this nice lady that got, there were three Democrats ran, and she got zero votes in her own precinct. Zero votes. You know, if they had gave her three for her daughter and her husband and herself, the day and age we're living in now, they'd have said, I'm sorry, ma'am, nobody loves you but your family. But instead, they had to open up. They actually had to look into machines. Corrupt Brad Raffensperger down there, the Republican Secretary of State, one of the biggest traitors this country's ever seen in history. He opens it up. Oh, yeah, yeah, it was a programming error. Why are you programming our elections? You know, I mean, so this is where now we have a platform, we have voices, and if maybe things would finally get done because things get tied up in politics. Oh yeah, we're going to vote on that. Oh well, we're on a break. We're going to take a break for a month and a half. No, you're not. You're going to get back in there and get to work. The people, you're working for the people. It's disgusting. Get in there and get this nonsensical thing. Don't you people have families? Don't you people have relatives that want to live, have good lives while we're still here before we go to heaven? You guys are, what's wrong with you? You got to call these people out. It's just nuts. You know,
absolutely.
And a lot of them are out of fear. You know, these politicians that are in there, when you're making, they asked me the other day in Minnesota, or when it was debates, well, Mike, what do you know, you better lighten your up about abortion or whatever. I'm pro-life, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm not changing just to get some crazy votes on the left. It ain't happening. What in the heck is that? I'm going, okay, I'll go softer. How do you go softer? You half kill a baby? It's unbelievable, you know? Well, I'm right in the middle here, you know? I mean, it's bizarre.
There's not a lot hidden with you. It's all right out there in the open. I don't know how people want that.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's what we need.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. You know, coming in and just saying, you know, 5 years ago, you couldn't say, oh, ban Sharia law in Minnesota. That all these Somalians that have come in, that's even the bigger problem than all the billions they stole is a good thing, because it's now we can say, hey, we got a bigger problem. Ban Sharia law. We shouldn't have our governor, shouldn't have our mosque and ringing bells from Minneapolis keeping everybody awake on some call to Allah or whatever it is. And when he closes the Christian churches during the China virus, it's disgusting. And these guys take it over. They're not assimilating here. They're getting in our classrooms in Minnesota. And some of them don't even speak English. And you can't discipline anymore if the student's doing bad, because that's not right. So all the rest of the students suffer. And this is, if you can't come here, and here's what happens. You take all the ones that committed this crime, you put them in prison. Then you over here, you take all the ones that have overstayed their visas or here, boom, you ship them out. And whatever's left, you better assimilate here and love our country. And there are some, I've met some that are here legally, and they're working, they're hardworking, but they're assimilated. They're not covering it up, and they're not doing all this craziness and telling us that they gotta, you know, shut down your working lines and your business. Let's shut down and just everybody five times a day to go do what your religion said. What if I had a religion that said everybody, for 5 hours at exactly 3 o'clock, you're gonna shut down everything and nobody does a thing. You can't even put gas in your car. That's crazy, you know. Or if I, you know, our religion says, you know, there's one thing, freedom of religion, but let's not forget, we're one nation under God, and that God is Jesus Christ.
Amen. I completely agree. So what are you going to do? Because, I mean, Minnesota has become like a byword for corruption at this point. I mean, Amy Klobuchar is one thing, but then you get into Keith Ellison and the governor, of course, now Tim Walz, who isn't even running again because he's so embarrassed at the failure he represents. So, I mean, what do you even do to whip that state back into shape, man? It is gone.
And Glenn Frey, the corrupt mayor of Minneapolis. Here's what I'm going to do, everybody. Let me tell you this. So let's start with Minneapolis. Okay, we'll start with the inner city. You bring back law enforcement and you enforce the protester laws that are already there. Minneapolis has some of the best protester laws ever. You can't stop people on a sidewalk. You certainly can't stand in the middle of a highway and block off the highway. You arrest them. Gross misdemeanor. You do it again, a felony. You know, that's it. You enforce them. Now you bring back the safety, you bring back law enforcement. Now, the other day in Portland, this gal was walking through Portland and goes, this is now the safest city in the world. You know why? Nobody's downtown. It's empty. It's a ghost town, just like Minneapolis and a lot of other places have become. Here's the next thing you do. You take these welfare programs, okay? This is my wheelhouse. I've worked in Minneapolis and St. Paul and Rochester and Detroit for 17 years. I have a beautiful program for these. First, you check them all out. You see which ones really do it, give a good return on your investment. Let's not forget of all the people that money was allotted for, right, that do need help. And you have an end game. But we set up a thing. It's almost like a give, send, go. I set this platform up probably 10 years ago now, and we used private sector money, and we tested it in Detroit. People want to give in the private sector, but they want to give to certain things that they're partial to, whether it be addiction or whatever. And we worked with the Teen Challenges, the Salvation Armies, and Union Gospels. But anyway, we did this. It saved 46% or 44% of the money that would have normally cost the government. Now, I was the government. I put my money around it. But if you didn't have that private sector money, you would have, you know, it had all this more expenses. So I'm going to install that in downtown. I'm going to also do another thing. We get people off the street. It was another thing that was done by Ben Carson, but it got shut down before the China virus when he was the Secretary of HUD. And it's an amazing thing where you pull the people off the streets. You got addicts, you put them on federal ground and you sort them. You've got the addicts that now you get them the help they need. In your Teen Challenges, your Salvation Armies, you get them the help they need, the faith-based centers. Then you have the people that have mental problems. All our mental institutions were shut down in the early 1970s because of a movie called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. When that came out, everybody said, go back to your families. We don't want these centers. Well, we need them back because there's over 20 million people in the streets that have mental problems. And our president just 2 weeks ago said, hey, we need to bring them back. And then, so you get those people help they need. We have modern help to help them. Then you got the other ones that are just out there homeless and just not working. There's a way to get them jobs. So now you do that. Now here's the next thing. I'm going to completely ban or take away sales tax in Minnesota. No more sales tax. You need to bring people an incentive to go in the box stores and go into these small businesses where they don't have to pay sales tax because they're competing with Amazon and MyPillow online, right? So you can pay higher sales tax up here and you eliminate the sales tax at that level. We've got to get people off their phones and get them back into these stores because that's what keeps our economy going. And if you lose that piece that people are forgetting, that's a huge piece, everybody. The schools in Minnesota, they're all bonded. They get bonded and it's a big Ponzi scheme. Then they put up more bonds. And when they run out of money there, they raise your property taxes. That's the way in a lot of states. This has to be looked at big time and fixed. And I have a fix for that. You do that. It's like looking at each sector of a business. Get them property taxes eliminated or at least down. And by the time the programs I'm putting in that I already have access to, and let's not forget, I have federal access to our current government. I know everybody. They're on my phone. I don't care. You name one person in government there and I've got connections to them for their help where we work together with our federal government. You don't push them back. You work together. So you guys, it's MikeLindellGov.com. I can use your help right now because I'm not waiting for primaries and stuff. And, you know, who's going to win on the Republican? By the way, I'm polling number one with the Republicans. Just came out 2 days before I got here in Mar-a-Lago. You guys, go out there, MikeLindellGov.com, and support
You got to support this man. The state of Minnesota is sort of on its last legs. I think he's got the plan to bring it back.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
A single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together. But it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade.
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings and World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you were on the 8th floor, you work for the City Housing Department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hess. I said, this is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here.
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the sixth floor before an explosion blew them back up to the eighth floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse.
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking treasonous exposition.
This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure we ever get to the bottom of it.
We have to, or we can't save our country, sir.
I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, because the problem is it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things.
All right,
of that
folks, that video can be found, as always, at Infowars.com, band.video, and make sure you're following us on X at Real Alex Jones, at Infowars. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Mark Mitchell on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
I hear people.
All right, folks, this is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. You can follow us on Twitter at Real Alex Jones, where we are always streaming, and we really appreciate you sharing those links and, of course, supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. The only way that we get any support, we have no sponsors, no corporate structure that can tell us what to do, which is why we're able to bring you the truth unfiltered, uncontaminated by anything other than what we think is the truth. If you appreciate that, please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Follow us, share our links, and help us win the info war. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Mark Mitchell. He's the VP and Director of Polling Operations for RasmussenReports.com. That's RasmussenReports.com. You can follow him on X at Honest Pollster. Welcome to the show, sir.
Great to be back. And you know what? Just like you guys, the reason I can be honest is because I don't have to report to a massive corporate structure either. Funny how that works, being independent.
Isn't that nice? And it's no wonder that the powers that be want everybody to be under the yoke of one corporation or government or something. They really hate independent people who are sort of self-supporting as you are. So tell us the latest from Rasmussen. What are the polls saying? How we doing out there?
Yeah, I just want to preface all this, and it is, you know, the system that attacks people who tell the truth, but it's also people who are sort of like emotionally thinkers, you know, weak-willed, unable to deal with reality, and I deal with reality. I'm not a Republican cheerleader. I'm an independent pollster, and I put out commentary, but it's all based on numbers. So you might disagree with my commentary, but I'm going to show you the numbers too, and you're welcome to make your own assessment. And it's just wild how many people just in the last like week thought that somehow that they could call me a sellout, or they could say I've lost the plot, or they could all of a sudden decide to switch over to a mainstream media pollster in order to like avoid the truth that I'm telling. And the truth is that what Donald Trump did in the last week was like flashing red warning sirens bad for his polling. Like very, very, very bad. His job approval rating got down to 41%. And it went back up to 45%. It happened over a course of a couple of days, and it almost exactly lines up with Google search trend volume for the term Epstein, which is now being searched 5, 6, 7 times more than it's ever has in history. The word Epstein was searched more than the 2022 Winter Olympics, the entire period when it was going on. This is not something that Donald Trump's just going to be able to sweep under the rug. It's a cultural touchstone moment. This is the youth zeitgeist. And it's one of the reasons that Trump got elected, a blowback for a system that is broken. Overreach of the Biden administration, the fact that there's a two-tiered system of justice and people like don't think that their betters are held criminally accountable for literally anything. And does everybody think that way? No. Like, there's people really happy today about the jobs report, and they're like, you know what? We're going to win. And it's like, maybe, but I can tell you right now, I don't think you are. So even at a 45% job approval rating, that puts Donald Trump barely like in Joe Biden territory, but the Democrat lead on the generic ballot is up to 6 points right now.
Wow.
And I really think that overestimates a potential Republican turnout. Because we're in a period where people don't necessarily change party as much. I think it's more driven, especially for low propensity voters, on enthusiasm. Right. And if Donald Trump looks like he doesn't understand why he got elected, there's going to be a real enthusiasm problem that might not even show up in my polling. And it all comes back to Epstein, which I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry, the way they're dealing with it now seems a little bit like a betrayal. It just does. And I don't think that they can make it go away.
You use softer words than I do, sir. I think it's absolutely a betrayal, and it's a ridiculous, like, absurd betrayal. It's not even like, oh, wow, they're evil. It's like, what are they even doing? It doesn't even make, you know, at least if you get betrayed and you see Judas walk off with the 30 pieces of silver, you go, okay, he got something from this. But they're betraying us, and they're just screwing themselves in the process. So it makes even less sense than a typical betrayal.
Yeah.
But, you know, we played the clip earlier today. Pam Bondi's asked about why they aren't going after Epstein's co-conspirators, and her response is the Dow's up 40,000 points. And it's like, it's almost the perfect, you know, microcosm of what's wrong with the Trump administration. There's no economic, you know, first of all, the economy's not as good as they say. The stock market's not reflective of our conditions on the ground. So that doesn't even count. But it doesn't matter how good the stock market is if you've got a bunch of pedophile rapists running around controlling the world. So, like, what is wrong with it? Why is that message not getting through to Trump, do you think?
Well, you know, I tried to get that message through. As Alex know, they invited me down to the White House and I talked to them. And also I was screaming all the way back at the beginning of Epstein, and people might not like really understand the depth of why this is a betrayal. And it all comes down to leadership. Now, you talked about the economy, and we've had this like performative economy where everybody in the past has been able to focus on things like the Dow Jones or the GDP number and feel good that the president's doing a good job. But because we have this late stage capital, global homo kleptocracy, you know, corporatism system that squeezed all of the rent out of the middle class and shipped all the jobs overseas, you increasingly have all of the wealth concentrated at the top in a way where most people don't have stocks. And, you know, people said that this was like they wanted Trump because of the economy. They say rising prices was their number one issue. But if you look into the polling actually says, well, there's deeper problems. There's a lack fundamentally of trust in the federal government. Only 30% trusted the federal government. Like existential things like the are you better off than you were 4 years ago numbers were the lowest we've ever seen. People don't think today's children will be better off than their future. So they wanted Trump for the economy, but when he said things like retribution and drain the swamp, like I will fight for you, like these are the things that really resonated. They wanted a systematic reformer. And so Donald Trump got in, and I think it's objectively fair to say that we're not seeing somebody that's attacking the system. And when he did Doge was super popular, and his job approval rating was super high with the under 40 voters. He got up to 60%. What is the under 40 approval rating right now as of last Friday? It was 34%. So he went from 60 to 34%, and that's not bad. And it's because he's, again, fundamentally betraying, in my opinion, the, like, values that he ran on. And so, for instance, if you look at Epstein, somebody could say nobody cares about Epstein. Well, that's wrong. They objectively do. They're searching for it all over the place. But why is Epstein important? Well, because Americans crave fairness, and a two-tiered system of justice is one of the least popular things we've ever polled on. 95% of America thinks it's important that your elected leaders be held to the same standard of account as everybody else. And so this is the most egregious example we ever could have seen. That yes, the system is in many ways profoundly rotten, and yes, these people will all skate. And the first time I really started screaming, I did it on Alex's show. He gave me like an hour, and we went into the field after Pam Bondi said case closed. And it's like, no, only 16% say the case is closed. 68% of America says there's dozens of powerful and wealthy offenders who need to face justice. And it was a completely bipartisan signal. So if right. You want to get Democrat and independent votes, you have to understand that, like, they think that this is what's going on. And you can't, like, make a magic wand and change these people's mind. Brute forcing public opinion is really, really hard. It takes a lot of effort. And so for them to say, oh, we're moving on, America's like, no, we're not. We haven't dropped this yet. They still think, and maybe there isn't. Maybe magically nothing illegal or evil or demonic happened down there. Maybe that's the case. But then they have to make that case. And we're seeing it over and over and over again. Donald Trump not sounding like he did when he ran. Look at Kash Patel. He's going to shut down the FBI and make the Herbert Hoover Building a museum of the deep state. And then he gets in, and objectively, that did not happen. It's like, okay, well, maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. Well, the polling says it's very bad. Trump voters do not trust the FBI. In fact, they trust it even less. And we see this. The polling explains why people see what the FBI did with the, you know, the Charlie Kirk stuff. They see what the FBI is doing here and the redactions, and they're like, this stinks. It's even worse. Like, now the system is being allowed to continue, and the curtain is being rolled back more and more every day. So the temperature of the pot of water that the frog is in continues to increase unabated. And you could say, well, like, Mark, you're not focusing on the right things, and why don't you talk about his jobs number? Okay, we'll see if the job number changes the polling. But this better off question, I think, well, this is our story today. I think it's very important to point out. And it's like, yes, Joe Biden was a bad president. Objectively bad. He did bad things. It was bad for America. Yes. But when America tells you that Donald Trump is a worse president than Biden, that's a referendum on Donald Trump, not on Joe Biden. You could say, well, look at all the things Joe Biden did. But America's looking forward at Donald Trump and Republicans and saying, what does our path look like? And yes, Donald Trump has done very good things. He has done very good things. But we just asked, literally like yesterday, it has been about a year since Donald Trump became president again. Are you better off than you were a year ago? And only 38% say yes. And that's the exact same number that said yes at the end of the Biden administration. Wow. So that number has not gone up. Now, have some of the Republicans gone up and some of the Democrats gone down? Yeah, of course. But the independent number, only 33% say better. 60% say worse. And so independents, who basically Trump won because he won almost half of independents, have completely turned on him. Like, just absolutely, completely, fundamentally turned. And it's like, oh, well, Republicans have the right value set. Republicans just have to vote harder. Republicans just have to register more people. And it's like, well, no, Donald Trump, like, got this huge wave of crossover Democrats and independents who are not Republicans. They don't care about the Republican Party. They don't care about traditional conservatism. They just want the system fixed. And it's like the under 40 voter. That's how you go from 60% when you're burning down the government with Doge to 34% when it looks like we're run by satanic cannibal pedophiles. Like, that's, right. I mean, it's the most obvious thing on. So, like, I tried to convey this. Like, this is, in my opinion, I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. It is about leadership and vision. And he needs to be able to sell to America that by voting Republican in November, that there is a clear path forward that will solve the systematic issues we have. And I said that on November 18th, right to his face. And that involves not talking about the Dow Jones when people don't want to be ruled by satanic pedophiles. Like, that's really what it comes down to. And I could just go on and on and on. The polling of this is like, we ask, when thinking about the economy, which is the most important aspect that must be improved? And more jobs, 17%, higher stock market, 5%. Higher corporate profits, 6%. Lower grocery and energy prices, 47%. So people are still just strangled by costs. And he could say egg prices all he wants, but it's like, that's not going to fix it. And people don't understand. It's like, I can't afford my life. Groceries, like insurance, the cars, everything's more expensive. And when I look at the person that's leading my country and I decide whether I'm going to vote for his party, he's like, listen, we got the egg prices down. That, it's just not the, it's not the sales pitch. The sales pitch needs to be like, look, we understand the problems. Like, look, I'm not part of the problem. And I think in many ways, Donald Trump, subconsciously to a lot of folks, is perceived now increasingly to be part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to sweep this under the rug. And even economically, we just did a poll. Do big businesses have too much or not enough influence in the Trump administration? And people said too much, 50%. Only 10% say big businesses has too little influence. I know Rich Barris has asked the same question about Israel, got very, very, very similar results. And so it's like he promised to fight for America, and Americans need to see that the person that they have to put all their support behind is going to fight the things that matter. And the S&P is not the thing that matters. I just tweeted about it. And like, I'm glad he brought that clip up. I mean, it literally sounds like let them eat S&P, like Marie Antoinette, completely out of touch.
Let them eat stocks, yeah.
Yeah, let them eat stonks.
That's
100%. Line go up economy, K-shape economy.
Yeah, and there's so many things about this midterms that make it ultimately important, right? The fact that if they win, they're going to impeach Trump, and that's going to be it for America, as far as I'm concerned, because, yep. I mean, we've been over that a million times. But then there's the fact that Trump came in with this wave of support, and he had a mandate to do so much, and his failure, the disappointment in the first year is so massive, and he's not doing himself any favors. And it's like, yeah. You know, I wouldn't tell him to be dishonest, but it's almost like, dude, why are you even just pretending to be going after Epstein? Like, it's just politically, wouldn't it be a better move to go, look, I don't want to actually go after Epstein, but I'm going to pretend I am. And it's like, they won't even do that. It's like, what is going on?
I told them to do that on your show. Like, I went on Alex Jones on September 16th or whatever. July 16th. It was right after I had those polls in my hands. And I said, the right way to do this is that you own the FBI. It's $11 billion a year. We have an FBI. It's the part of the government that investigates things. And America is telling you that the case is not closed. And so if you got the FBI, you got a case that's not closed, like, let's just investigate. And if he had done that, very cynically, and I hate myself for having recommended that, that was the sweep under the rug. That's what you would do. You just sweep it under the rug. Nobody hears about it. And instead it's like, here, Democrats, take this. This is something you're going to bludgeon us with for the next 3 years.
Yeah. And that's why I bring it up too. Cause I don't actually want Trump to be lying. I want him to actually be doing stuff, but it just highlights the absurdity of Trump's failure to grapple with this, what should have always been a golden goose for him to make him the hero of the Republic for rounding up the satanic pedophile ring. Instead, it's flipped and it's just bonkers. When it comes to the midterms, we know that Susie Wiles' plan is to have Trump treat this like a presidential election and get out there on the road because they understand it's about turnout. It's not about necessarily convincing people to flip parties. It's about convincing your party to actually get off their butts and go vote. It's always the way with midterms. Does Trump even have the poll and the gravitas for that to be a valid strategy at this point? It seems to me like people are just going to be mad at him and yelling things at him and going, get back to D.C. and get to work, dude. We don't need you in Kansas doing a barn burner. So, I mean, what do you think about that strategy for the midterms?
Well, you know, it's harder and harder to predict the future with how loony politics is getting. And I hesitate to try, but what I will say is, like, the upside case is, okay, we don't have any flagrant miscommunication problems or unforced errors. And we get past the Epstein thing, something else happens. Hopefully it's not like a messy regime change, right? And people, maybe they get the messaging together. Now I hear reconciliation's dead, but like they get a few laws passed with reconciliation. and then maybe the economy starts to heat up and we get some headlines about wages going up. Maybe the job market gets hotter and like, I mean, that's what it would take. And everybody looks around and is like, you know what? Our problems aren't as bad. Things are going in the right direction. And the Republicans did get us here. Maybe there's some wagon circling and maybe the generic ballot tightens and maybe, you know, reverses the trend that it's had. And maybe Democrats somehow don't get $3.5 billion funneled into Act Blue between now and the midterms. Like maybe. Lots of maybes. Maybe that's right. The best case, right? The worst case is like there could be, and again, maybe the best case is like we go to war with China and everybody rallies around jingoistic pride and like maybe that's it. Like, I don't know. But the worst case is there is a possible path where there is very brutal blowback for, you know, cause that's the one thing people stuck with Donald Trump through literally everything. I mean, they, Teflon Don and a lot of stuff and people stuck with him and said, no, he's ultimately got my best. He's not perfect, but he's got my best interest at heart. And so that aspect of like a core betrayal of the base. And I don't know, looking at the country right now, we haven't polled on Epstein yet. Again, we're going to do it in the next couple of days. Like what, how are people, they're consuming a lot of this content and what are they going to focus on and what are the lightning rods that get stuck up? And that's the issue, is that there's going to be these symbolic moments that just drive how public opinion plays out between now and then. And one of them could be Trump being heckled at a rally about Epstein because of something that just continues to persist that they can't force away. They just need an Epstein strategy. I know that sounds like horrifying, cynical political strategist talk, but they need an Epstein strategy, like clearly, in order to get to November. And like the rallies, it's just high risk. And yeah. Here's the thing too. It's like, is it high reward? Because the rallies like drew people in because they were, like people liked the optics of the rallies. They were good. They were rebuilding a movement to save America. And you were getting a lot of like normies, independents, maybe some like blue collar, some union workers to show up. And are they going to want to go to those rallies just to hear Trump talk about the GDP and the S&P? Like the union workers, you know, like Republicans got unions for the first time. And so it's like, well, we need to focus on making those people happy in this new big tent. And instead it's like, oh, what we want to be perceived as success already so that we can tell people the job is done, mission accomplished. And the mission accomplished didn't work out very well for Bush. So no, like, I don't even know. You look at George W. Bush numbers and they were horrifying at the end, but George W. Bush still had like a whole lot of Christian conservatives that just liked him and stuck with him through a lot of stuff. But I just don't know. Like, yeah, maybe it's,
you know, yeah. You got all these maybes, all these potentials, like maybe this happens, maybe this, and it's like, I hear this giant list of potentials that are going to be hard to get any one of them, let alone all of them. And then it's like, or you could just like arrest Lex Wexner. It's like one of these, you can either go for the impossible combination of all these miracles, or you can just like arrest the bad guys. It seems like a simple solution to me. I mean, do you think
would that
make a big difference?
We literally just saw this moment. So Minnesota, in my opinion, was such a political gift because Doge was so popular and then the Republicans got rid of Doge. They really just kind of got rid of it. And it was the biggest mistake they probably ever made. And then all of a sudden it's forced into the news again, right? And so America fundamentally still wants all the illegals gone by a pretty strong majority. It's like 30 points, net points more popular than Trump is. But then there's been increased, you know, blowback about the ICE tactics. 47% of plurality say ICE is too harsh. Only, you know, in the 30s say not harsh enough. And so it's like, well, they're telling you they don't like the way it's panning out, but they still want it fundamentally. And we flooded Minnesota with ICE and made it even worse by giving them an opportunity to have all these optics with the protests, which is not like we don't want red meat here. We want resolving the core problems with America and increasing tension in a way that makes ICE look like the bad guy is bad. And so what did Trump do there? He sort of lost the plot that fundamentally Americans still want what he promised, which is less illegal aliens And he immediately sort of like caved and started talking about soft amnesty and started like, you know, he sounded like a billionaire oligarch on this. Well, we're just going to, and you know, a strategy decision must have been made behind the scenes because across the board, they started using the phrase criminal aliens. And this is the same movement that made fun of people for using undocumented immigrants, right? Like right. It's corporate newspeak. It's like it's 1984 stuff. Well, now we're using 1984 tactics to defend low wages for workers for the right. party that just got unions for the first time. Like, and so obviously the answer out of this is raid the frickin' businesses. It's not hard. The polling is off the charts popular. Raiding businesses is like 40 points more popular than Trump is. E-Verify is like 60 or 70 points more popular than Trump is. And the Republicans were just given all this low-hanging fruit. Pass the SAVE Act, voter ID, like raid business, like E-Verify. Like we have an E-Verify system. We could just use it. Like,
right.
And yeah.
No, it is all so utterly insane. And it just seems like they're either not getting the polls or they just don't care. I can't wrap my mind around it because people like yourself, Rasmussen Reports, I mean, you are giving them the roadmap to success and they just refuse to follow it. So, I don't know how you lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I think you're dead on about everything. I think you have the right mindset. We got to focus on reality here, not the fantasy that they're trying to push forward because nobody's buying it. Thank you so much for being here with us. We could go on and on. I know you're a busy man. Mark Mitchell, you can follow him at Honest Pollster on X and RasmussenReports.com. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir.
Thank you, Harrison. Thanks.
My pleasure. All right, stay tuned, folks. We'll be back after a short commercial break for the final segment of the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Final segment here. I got a lot of videos to play you and still a lot of stories to cover. But we've had a lot of guests today, and I'm bad about plugging when we have guests because I feel bad making them sit there. So I'm going to make up for that here, and I hope you can help me by going to thealexjonesstore.com, which, by the way, we have so many great products there, and you should be telling your friends about them. You know, every once in a while, I'll be talking to somebody that I know pretty well, but they'll say something like, "You ever heard of this Jeff Epstein guy?" And I have to give him a look of like, "Don't you know who I am? Don't you know where I work? Like, what do you mean, do I know Jeffrey Epstein? Like, what do you want to know about him?" I know everything. It's crazy. Well, today, we have a family group chat, and one of my sisters asks my other sister, "Hey, where do you get your creatine?" I'm like, "Guys, what? Where do you get your creatine? You get it from thealexjonesstore.com, obviously, /Harrison, to let them know who sent you. That's where you get your creatine. It's the best on the market. It's the only one available. People don't know. They don't even know. We have the ultimate creatine powder and creatine gummies as well. They're sitting there going, "Are the gummies good? I don't know." I'm like, "Of course the gummies are good." Guys, thealexjonesstore.com is where you get the best creatine. It's where you get the best turmeric. It's where you get the best methylene blue. It's where you get the best of everything. You don't need to ask. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to shop around. We've done that for you. We have found the best source of all of these supplements. We bring them to you in the highest possible concentration with the best bioavailable absorption on the market, whether it's creatine or the Shilajit or the Irish Sea Moss or any of it. It's all the best of the best. And it's super, super cheap, especially if you take advantage of some of our sales. Like right now, we have a sale for 50% off any supplement that you put on a subscription. So if you take creatine regularly, then, you know, schedule your monthly delivery of creatine that you would get anyway. Only this time you get it for 50% off. And even if we sell out for other people, you still get yours delivered. So it's just an absolutely amazing way to save massive amounts of money on products that you're probably buying anyway. And if you're not, you probably should. So make sure to go today to thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's the creatine, the Shilajit gummies, the Irish Sea Moss, the turmeric, the bodies, or not the bodies, but the atomic defense is an incredible one. The blue tallow is a fantastic skincare product. It doesn't turn you blue, but it has the power of ultramethylene blue and the beef tallow combined. It's really incredible stuff. The beef tallow, of course, is best on the market. We've got everything you could possibly need for your supplementation regime at thealexjonesstore.com, and we have it for 50% off when you sign up for the deliveries, and you can cancel at any point if you don't want it this month, or it didn't take as many last month, so you want to hold it over. You can pause it, cancel it, restart it again later. But if you go now and you sign up for a subscription for any of our products, you get it for 50% off. And we guarantee that you have one even if we sell out otherwise. In addition to that, you can get our bundles. We have two limited time bundles going on right now. The Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, as well as the Modern World Survival Stack. So in the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, you're getting Ultramethylene Blue, Ultramethylene Red, and Bovine Colostrum Plus all together for a combined 50% off. With the Modern World Survival Stack, you're getting the Shilajit Complex, the CMOS capsules, and the Atomic Defense all together for an additional 50% off. So these are two powerful bundles, both of them 50% off. And right now it's 50% off all subscriptions for products. And of course, you're going to want to sign up for the VIP club, the Alex Jones VIP club. You get access to additional sales, you get free shipping, you get access to the lost tapes, which are the Alex Jones shows from 2001 to 2008 that are not available anywhere else online, but you get access to them if you sign up for a VIP member. And that's all just on top of the fact that the VIP membership costs you $30 a month, but you get $40 in store credit. So if you're going to buy anything from the alexjonesstore.com, you should probably be a VIP member. It's just 10 bucks off your order, which is probably already 50% off anyway. Massive sales, incredible products, and best of all, you support this outlet and everything that we do as we continue to be the tip of the spear and lead the charge against the globalists who are being exposed more than they ever have been, thanks in no small part to your participation and support at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And tell your sisters, tell your brothers. They're out there buying low-quality creatine from some scam artist. They could be getting the top-quality stuff from us for probably even cheaper. Don't, you know, friends don't let friends shop on Amazon, okay? You got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. And with that, we've got a lot of videos to go to. I want to go to a video I mentioned earlier, but again, our guests are so good. They're just on fire. I'm like, I'm not going to interrupt Mike Lindell when he's on a roll like this. But I did want to show this because it goes into what he was talking about, what we've all been talking about, the scams, the scam artistry that is tearing this country apart from the inside. Josh Hawley at Hawley M.O., Senator Josh Hawley, says that we lose about $1 trillion in scam, being scammed out of our tax money every single year. $1 trillion. We human beings almost can't even fathom how much money that is. But let's go to this video. This is Josh Hawley talking about just the sheer madness of the unrelenting scams bankrupting us at full speed. Let's watch.
Where's this money going? I mean, we know where some of it's going in Minnesota. It went overseas. It went to Somalia. It went to NGO fronts. We know where it's gone in some other states. California gave away billions of dollars to a pro-Hamas NGO. Mm-hmm. But $1 trillion nationally, where's this money going to?
I appreciate that question because most people don't ask that question. It goes to terrorism. It goes to child trafficking. It goes to drugs. It goes to terrorism. And then it's used to purchase luxury items, cars, purses, homes. That's all funded by people like me that pay taxes.
So it's, you're telling me that the electrician who goes to work every day and clocks in and works his butt off and tries to earn just enough to be able to, you know, make his rent, maybe have a kid or two, put food on the table, his tax money is being used to buy other people luxury items, cars, yachts, whatever else, and is going to fund terrorism and child trafficking?
Yes, sir.
$1 trillion a year on this stuff?
$115 million an hour.
$115 million an hour. How do they get their hands on it? What are we talking about here? Trends, national organizations, criminal networks? How do they get their hands on this money?
They take advantage of antiquated government systems and processes. They go into programs that they know elected and appointed officials won't touch, and they can steal at scale. And what happened really was during the pandemic between the PPP loans and the unemployment insurance, they learned a really valuable lesson. Government never runs out of money, and the probability of getting caught is virtually zero. I have it at 0.1%.
So come back to the recommendations that you mentioned in your opening statement. What do we need to do to put a stop to this hemorrhaging of people's hard-earned money going overseas to finance child trafficking and luxury yachts? I mean, what needs to happen here?
It's really simple. It's used every single day in the commercial sector. Front-end identity verification, you just don't get to say I am who I say I am. Second, recertification of all the recipients. There is so much fraud right now in the benefit programs all across the country. We need to get a baseline. Third, this notion of a third-party independent audit. And finally, is involving federal law enforcement, like the Secret Service, to investigate it. The thing that people don't understand is that most of these beneficiaries, Senator, they're not real. They're fake. They're someone's stolen identity that is getting used in all 50 states.
You almost just have to laugh. $1 trillion a year? $1 trillion a year. Because I've done the comparison before, because you hear these big numbers and you hear them so much, it just sort of becomes nothing, right? It's just static noise. And it started when, you know, we heard that George Soros had donated $18 billion to basically destroy America from the inside out. And I remember just thinking, like, what does that even mean? What is $18 billion? What could you get with that? I didn't even have AI at the time. I was doing it, you know, doing the calculations by hand. But it's like you can buy every castle in Europe. That's for sale. Thousands of them. You can buy every private island in the world. You can buy stadiums and, you know, sports franchises and space programs. And it's like you're still not even halfway to $18 billion. Now multiply that by, what would it be, 100? Trillion is 1,000 billions? It's like, what? Can you even fathom what is being stolen from us? When you hear $1 trillion stolen, doesn't really connect with anything in your brain. How about they've stolen 1 million high schools, 10,000 top-of-the-line hospitals, 1 billion libraries? Like, you have no idea what our country could be like if we weren't being robbed relentlessly. And let's remember, we're just talking about the fraud. That's not even accounting for the infinite amount of money that we pay for welfare, which shouldn't be going to the people it's going to. For the infinite amount of foreign aid that's going to just kill Russians on the other side of the world or try to take down Iran for whatever reason the demons decide. I mean, how much of our wealth is just siphoned away? And then you think about all the NGOs that are funded by the government. They're not really NGOs. They're GOs, actually. It's just we don't have any oversight over them. It's worse than being a part of it. They're funded by the government. They just don't have to abide by the same rules of the government. It's the worst of both worlds. But they're, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry in this country. And then you think about all the people that are employed directly by the government or subsidiaries of the government or contractors with the government. And again, you get down to like, okay, what is it? 4% of our entire population is actually engaged in for-profit endeavors. What is the number? It can't be more than like, I mean, I think 25% is way too high, considering all of the money that goes into, I mean, you talk about education, government funded, you talk about, I mean, it's all government funded. So like, who's actually making the money? Who's actually producing the prosperity? It's like less than 10% of America is somehow funding everybody else endlessly. And this can get so much worse, by the way. If you look at the numbers of South Africa, It's beyond ridiculous. It's like literally 5% of people pay the taxes for everybody else and 80% of the people are completely dependent on the government. It can get crazy, folks. Like when you really set up the systems of exploitation, you can take a very small number of prosperous, hardworking people and you can fund just infinite laziness. It's really wild. And that doesn't even count for the $1 trillion of fraud. That's just an additional expense on top of it. I think we should burn the whole thing down. I'm really thinking, I think we need to burn the whole thing down at this point. You get to a certain point with legacy systems where you go, no, we're not reforming this, actually. I think we need to scrape it all, which is sort of what Trump was talking about doing at one point. I'm not sure where it ever went, but the idea was that, like, the fraud was so bad with welfare that just they were kicking everybody off and everybody had to reapply. That'd be a great way to do it. Just go, you know what? We're cutting it all off. Nobody's getting a check. Now you can come and reapply and you can bring your ID and we can confirm who you are. But it seems like something like that is the only way for this to work, because right now the spigot is running endlessly and we just got to cut it off. There's no like piecemeal solution to this. It's got to be a holistic decapitation of the fraud regime. Now, I've got some breaking news here minutes ago. I'm very annoyed at the news I'm about to bring to you. As we've been talking about throughout this entire program with all of our guests, the SAVE Act is of the utmost importance. It is hugely popular with the vast majority of Americans, Democrat and Republican. Democrats support the SAVE Act, or what it implies, that you have to have an ID to vote. Something like 75% of Democrats support it. Something like 85 to 90% of Republicans support it. And yet it has just failed. It has just failed on the House floor. The Save America Act, mandating voter ID, passed. Wait a second. I'm wrong. It did pass. I read it wrong. Okay. Whew. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, this literally broke like 30 seconds ago. So I misread it, and I was really mad at Thomas Massie. I still kind of am. But it looks like it passed the House. Okay. I misread it. I'm still mad at Thomas Massie, though. The Save America Act mandating voter ID passed the House, good, 216 to 215, with Thomas Massie voting against securing elections. He's the only Republican that voted against securing elections. It's like, dude, what? Why? Why can we not? Okay, whatever. It's fine. It passed. It passed. Okay, that's good. It passed. I thought for sure when I first read it, it said that it didn't pass because Thomas Massie voted against it, but it passed despite Thomas Massie voting against it, which it's just like, why would you not vote for that? What? I'm like defending Thomas Massie against claims of Trump derangement syndrome earlier, but then he goes and votes against the SAVE Act, and it's like, what the hell is going on here? How can we not just have people that are good on everything? It's very weird. Thomas Massie's the only Republican pushing for the Epstein files. He's one of the only Republicans speaking out against war in Iran or any of this other stuff. And yet he votes against the SAVE Act. Okay. All right. I guess that's what you're going to do. All right. So that's good. All right. It's better news than I thought. But we'll see how it fares in the Senate. And again, it just is the height of absurdity that it's even up for debate whether this passes, that every single Democrat voted against something that 75% of their constituents do want to happen. Explain that to me. They're demons? That's right. That's right. Doesn't need to be explained. We already know that they are, in fact, demons. Now, I got a lot of other big news to get into, including... So I really, I didn't think this was going to happen. I got to be honest with you. I thought they were smarter than this. We covered yesterday the religious freedom, religious liberty committee that the Trump administration put together, and that it kind of knocked off the rails by the participation of somebody who was not willing to concede that criticism of the nation state of Israel was in fact anti-Semitism. It's a Catholic woman named Carrie Prejean Bowler, and she didn't say anything offensive. She didn't say anything anti-Semitic. Now, she got treated to a lot of vicious, hateful remarks from the likes of Laura Loomer, who were denigrating not just Carrie, but the entire Catholic faith, being like, why don't you go cry about it in your little box, in your little confessional box? It's like, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, but you didn't hear anything from Carrie like that. Carrie wasn't going and, sitting at the White House Religious Liberty Committee going, you and your little tiny hats and your stupid wall. It's like, no, you had none of that. She very politely and very respectfully asked, is anti-Zionism anti-Semitism? If I am a Catholic and have a spiritual conviction that the modern nation state of Israel has nothing to do with the blessing of Israel that God gave to Abraham, if I can say in my, religious belief, Zionism is not good and not of God and actually against his plan, does that make me a hater of Jews? Does that make me a anti-Semite that needs to be silenced? And she asked that question in a more polite way than I just did. And she basically was hounded about it and criticized about it endlessly. And she has now been kicked off of the committee, according to Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor of Texas. I'm sad to say, Carrie Prejean Bowler has been removed from President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission. He says no member of the commission has the right to hijack a hearing for their own personal and political agenda on any issue. It's not what she did. This is clearly without question what happened Monday in our hearing on anti-Semitism in America. This was my decision. That's absolutely not what happened. It was a question of about religious liberty, and the greatest threat to religious liberty in America today is the Zionist lobby attempting to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism and to ban anti-Semitism and to write laws against anti-Semitism. I don't know how many times this has to be explained, but this should really be Civics 101. The First Amendment has five freedoms. The first of those five freedoms is the freedom of religion, and the freedom of religion contains within it both the right to worship your God as you see fit and also to criticize, mock, denigrate, hate other religions. Obviously, if the Catholic Church runs a country and is the state religion of a country, you know, they might force you to go to church. They might force you to worship in a Catholic method, but that's usually not what they're going to do. What they're going to do is just punish anybody criticizing it. They're going to hurt anybody that tries to stand up against Catholicism or tries to preach something in opposition to Catholicism. But typically, like, freedom of religion isn't violated by somebody forcing you to be Christian or forcing you to be Catholic. It's almost always a matter of you're allowed to criticize this power structure. You're allowed to speak out against religious beliefs of a certain sort. That's why we have the First Amendment. Not to only protect Jews being Jews and worshiping in a Jewish fashion. That's part of it. The other part is everybody else gets to say, this is stupid and bad and wrong, and I have religious convictions that are completely different than that, and I refuse to adhere to theirs. That's freedom of religion, obviously. Obviously. Ridiculous. Dan Patrick continues, the commission has done outstanding work through five hearings. Two more are scheduled. The testimony has been both illuminating and heartbreaking. Under the Biden administration, Americans of all faiths had their religious liberty not only stolen from them, but were often punished for standing up for their faith in education, the military, the private sector, and even the ministry. This spring, the commission will deliver one of the most important reports in American history directly to the president. The president respects all faiths. He believes all Americans have a right to receive the great inheritance given to them by our founding fathers in the First Amendment. I'm grateful for President Trump for having the vision and boldness to create this commission, fighting for the word of God. Religious freedom is what this nation was founded upon. Leading this fight will be one of his greatest legacies. But they've just kicked a woman off of the Religious Liberty Committee for her religious convictions. I think I might need to say that again. They just kicked Karee Prejean-Boler off of the Religious Liberty Committee because of her religious convictions. I mean, what are we doing here? What exactly? I'll tell you what we're doing here. We're setting up a delusion, an illusion, a giant game of you know, puppetry, of manipulation in which criminalizing anti-Semitism is being put forward as freedom of religion. That they're saying that unless criticism of the Jewish people, the Jewish state, the Jewish power structure, Jeffrey Epstein and his Jewish friends, like if you don't crush that and shut that down, then therefore you're violating the rights of Jews. That is literally the opposite of what the First Amendment says. And what you're doing by trying to make anti-Semitism illegal is, in fact, setting up blasphemy laws for a state religion, which I think every single kindergartner at this point knows is in violation of the First Amendment. Obviously, you don't have a state religion, except we kind of do at this point, except kind of in a de facto way. We actually do have a state religion. It's Judaism. So religious liberty be damned, I guess. I didn't think they would actually do that. Because you would think that with all of the outrage against the Jewish censorship that's going on top of the fact they're trying to get us into a war with Iran, on top of the fact that Jeffrey Epstein and all of his friends are calling all non-Jews goys and eating them, you would think that they'd have enough intelligence in this group to say, hey, it's not a great look if we expel the one person actually standing up for religious liberty on the religious liberty panel. But apparently they're so confident or deluded that they think this is a good idea. It's not. And I'll tell you, I was having a conversation with a noted, very prominent Jewish figure online yesterday, texted me about something. And I said, look, dude, I'm genuinely concerned about how y'all are handling this. Like, I'm genuinely concerned about having Shabbos Kestenbaum on the Religious Liberty Commission so he can sit up there and claim that, you know, no children in Palestine ever died and that you should arrest people for anti-Semitism. It's like, you understand what you're doing. You understand how this appears to the rest of us, right? This is a bad idea. So my advice, if you want to stop anti-Semitism, I actually have a solution for you. It's actually pretty great. Here's what you do. Use all that power and all that influence and support America and Americans. You hear that? Yeah. Tell you what, instead of paying people $7,000 for tweets that argue in favor of Israel, how about $7,000 for tweets that support the U.S. Constitution or something? It's like, everybody would love it. Everybody'd be in favor of that. You just got to stop trying to destroy the First Amendment and then playing the victim when you do it. It's actually not that hard. And this is sincere advice because I want to see us come together and defeat the evil people, not tear each other down endlessly. That's going to do for us. I think Rob Dew is hosting the War Room, so stay tuned for that. Very big show coming up, and then I'll be back with you on Friday.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexshowstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones